Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, 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 deed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Now's the time to talk. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonner. Wah, 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 wah.
He's not coming in today, Adam.
What have you done? What have you done with my Danny?
I'm so sorry to tell you, but he's shooting a movie in Salt Lake City, and they couldn't get an ISDN line there. So I believe he'll be calling in several times during the show, but he will not be with us for the entire show.
I miss that kid.
Will you be okay?
Play best of! Brian Roll best of!
Do you want to hear the Tube and Throat singers? Would that help?
Please. I'll be in the... Dan, I know it's only been 10.5 months, but I look at you as a red-headed, older, chain-smoking brother. Dee, I'm going to be in the fetal position over here.
I know. Do you want me to, like, rub your hair?
Give me a lav mic and a 24-ounce Monster energy drink. Actually, Danny has a 55-gallon drum. So he's got it tapped, so just pump the keg tap a couple times and give me a hit off that.
All right. I can blow some smoke on you or...
I don't know. Give me the bedazzler. Flick cigarette butts at me and hit me, douse me with Axe, and maybe we can simulate something.
I hope you can pull through.
I'm going to carry on.
Please try.
I know it's
for
the way
listeners.
It's the way he would have wanted it.
Anyone over 6'2 is just showing off to bother me. And anybody over 6'4 should be killed.
Virtual.
God I'm right at 6'2 and shrinking every day.
Are you shrinking?
I don't know. My family has bad posture.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone in my family has bad posture. I don't know if it's because I've never felt good about anything before.
Right.
Or they're not used to standing up. I don't know what it is. I think it's an array. My family all has bad posture, and I think it's a combination of super low self-esteem meets... I spend a lot of time on the sofa in a reclined position. I wear cardigan sweaters. Cardigan sweaters make you have bad posture.
Oh, great.
No one ever wears a cardigan with good posture. I think they're heavy in the arms or something. I don't know if the padded shoulders. There's something about a cardigan sweater that rolls you over. Everyone who puts... You could take Brad Pitt, circa 1989, toss a cardigan sweater on him. He would turn into Jack Klugman.
So you're saying the bad posture in your family is behavioral, emotional, skeletal, and sartorial.
Hell yeah.
Yes. And mixed with almost no physical activity.
Right. That will do it for the bad posture.
Yeah. My dad's not a lifter.
I like when we were out to dinner with your wife, she told me that you had told her that everyone in her family is so good looking that she should be better looking.
That's right.
An odd compliment.
Well, I mean, look, it's all about potential, is it not?
But, you know, I met her dad, and he is an extremely handsome, dashing, tall guy.
Yeah,
her brother's good looking?
Her brothers are, well, let's be honest. One brother is schizophrenic.
Right.
And that guy.
He has the hat.
He's got the hat. It's the UCLA hat. The last time I saw the guy, he was wearing a UCLA hat. Where, you know, the kind that's adjustable in the back that has the snaps, got the plastic bars and the snaps, the male and the female side. The snaps were all the way undone and both facing out at 90 degrees.
Right.
And the hat looked like somebody wet it with linseed oil and then backed over it with a station wagon and then parked the station wagon on it overnight and then took it and mashed it onto his head. And I told everyone in their family, look, I don't know the guy has schizophrenia or I do, but you don't have to know from across the street the crazy hat. It's the tell on all. Whenever someone is crazy, their hat's on crazy.
Yeah.
The hat gets mashed. It gets filthy. It gets open in the back. And then it gets put on them really like someone did it with a pneumatic stapler. It's like someone mashed it on their head and fired a couple staples through their scalp. And my thing is, if you put a normal hat on the guy, then other people riding on the bus won't know he's nuts.
Yes, it's not an announcement to everybody.
It is a weird thing when it's like, all right, we all have our issues.
Man, I'm crazier than a rabbit's ass.
I have a hairy ass. I'm not proud of it. But I don't cut the seat out of all my pants.
Yeah.
And just walk around.
Right.
You know, I don't hang a light over it like a museum. You know, one of those lights over a picture with the gooseneck,
yes.
The adjustable gooseneck. I don't get a halogen adjustable gooseneck light, make a belt out of it.
You're not highlighting it.
And wear Prince's pants around.
Right.
I don't do that. Why? Because it's not my strongest feature. If you're nuts, don't get a crazy hat and mash it on your head.
The problem is you're nuts. You don't know it's a crazy hat.
Okay.
It's an inherent problem.
Okay. Good point. Very good point. How are we going to solve this problem?
Your loved ones.
Will you go out to dinner with your dad, your brother? That's Lynette's other brother, who's very handsome guy. He's like 46 or 48. He's quite a bit older, but he's really good looking. Mom, my mother-in-law, died about 6-8 months ago. She was like 70 and fit as a fiddle. I mean, I swear to God, somebody ought to just they ought to bury her in ice because her body was like she was 30. So what I'm saying, so two things.
Right.
One, next time I saw Lynette's brother, I went and cleaned out my closet. I took every hat that's ever been given to me, including a nice UCLA hat, and I gave it to him. And
that
I said,
nice.
Put this hat on.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing because I talked to my wife and I talked to her brother, and I said, why didn't Dave's hat? It's like it's nuts. Like it's mashed on his head. Yeah, that's his hat. Well, perhaps one of these sane people in the group could spend $8 on a non-nutty hat and give it to him. Well, you know, 5 years from now, it'd be mashed up. Okay, maybe once a year. Maybe for something, there's a little something called
it.
Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a holiday for crazy people. You buy hats for crazy people. That's the way we celebrate Christmas over the Corollas. Now, her family's good looking, and my wife's good looking, but she could be better looking.
Adam, you told her this?
No, I'm just saying, she's a very handsome family.
This is what you woke me up for.
I don't come from a handsome family. I don't have attractive people in my family. My sister and
I disagree. Your sister's
very
attractive.
My sister's attractive.
Yeah.
Not in a sexual way. Don't be weird. She's not bad. She's not bad, and I'm not bad considering where I come from.
Right.
See, now, if I stood next to my wife's dad and you looked at me, you'd go, he's flying about 73-74%. Old taboo for you. But if you when you see me next to my dad, you're like, wow, what kind of water are you drinking, son? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my dad's cute, but there's, you know, physically some people just have good bones.
Right.
My family doesn't have good bones.
I think Lynette is in line with the attractiveness of her family of origin.
She's okay. She's not crushing them like me.
Right. I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying?
Well, what do you think the kids are going to look like?
Here's what I am. I am like short, white, wide receiver.
Okay.
Not the foot speed, but runs very disciplined routes.
Got it.
Not a natural. Whereas my wife comes from a family of Randy Mosses,
right.
Super tall black guys.
Right. You need a combo, works hard and has natural ability.
Mm-hmm. I just work hard. The kids, I think the kids will be, my kids, I think they'll be attractive because the girl's good looking.
Oh,
the boy
she's so cute.
It's fashioned after a butt plug, as we've said many, many times. But, you know, he doesn't have to be that good looking. He just has to have his daddy sense of humor, and he'll get laid. I'm already worried about the kid not getting laid.
You are?
I think it's a little bit of a family curse.
Is that really a paternal concern, like this kid will have trouble with girls?
Well, for a male, you know, when you have a boy and a girl, you worry about her having sex, and you worry
right.
about him not having
yeah.
sex. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Because for a guy, that die gets cast when you're pretty young. If you're in the 8th grade and the 9th grade and the 10th grade and none of the girlies like you, you will carry that to your grave.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You can become rich, successful. You can become good looking. You can blossom. You can this and you can that and you can other. But there'll still be that little part of you that's an 8th grader. There's some sort of thing that goes on when you hit puberty. Your sexuality or the way you look at yourself or the way you think other people look at you, which is the most important part. You know, people always hand you that crap. Play that Molly Sims thing. Makes me want to sick. I'm going to throw up those PSAs where it's like, it's the way you look at yourself. You know, the most attractive thing about a person is what that person thinks of themselves, or if you feel attractive, you are attractive. BS.
It's funny, but the way people look at you has a lot to do with the way you look at yourself. Be proud of who you are.
Yeah.
Inside and out.
I'm 600 pounds. I have a huge goiter, and I'm wearing a crazy man hat, but I think my poop doesn't stink, Molly Sims. Therefore, what? I'm getting laid?
Listen, my mom tried to sell me on this. She said, when I was like 13, she said, if you walk into a room and you carry yourself like you think you're beautiful, other people will too. Look at Marilyn Monroe. She was a size 14, and she convinced the world that she was perfect.
She was
make
a pig.
Me some
juice.
It did not work for me at all.
Yeah.
Molly Sims.
Yes. Size half. Molly Sims.
Molly Sims was phenomenal looking when she came in.
Of course, when you're great looking, it's easy to be sexy and it's easy to think you're sexy. When you're a disaster, when you're a mess, when you look in the mirror and you see like just an old ashtray that got a beer spilled into it looking back at you, it's hard to feel that way about yourself. But at some point, maybe about the time you sprout your first pube, you start to realize how other people view you. It's weird when you're before puberty, pre-puberty, you know, like in the fifth, sixth grade, whatever it is, you don't think that much about what other people think of you. You sort of think about your peers. You think about girls and whether they like you and think you're nice and want you to play, and guys think about sports and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, you spring your first pube, and then you start to look around and you go, forget about the fellas. What do the ladies think of me? And whatever you think they think of you about that time, that super formative, like 6 months or a year time when you're coming into puberty, that will carry on well into later life.
Now, this would be a PSA that could be useful.
Yes.
And it would sound like...
Oh. Hey, fatty, get a sense of humor. Hey, fellas, here's how it's going to work. Ace Man here. Thanks for listening. Because you have to identify yourself.
You have to.
I don't want people to think this is Gilbert Godfrey, like I'm a smoke detector screaming I'm hungry for batteries. Change me. Or a toaster oven yelling at them.
First, ID yourself at the top.
Hey, kiddies, Adam Carolla here. First up, gents. Look, you don't come from prime stock. You're no Brad Pitt. Forget about working out. Forget about the tanning cream. Forget about the gym and the salon. Start working on a sense of humor in your bank account. And let's see if you can't salvage some self-esteem via the mirror that's in your wallet. That's right. You look at it and you see a couple of 20s staring back at you. And that's where you get your self-esteem. Ladies, start saving for lipo. And by the way, give your dad a good kick in the groin for me. He passed on a demon seed. All right, study hard. We're all going to be dead soon.
Now that is useful.
Mm-hmm.
For both genders.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Teresa Strasser hanging in with the Ace Man. The Dooch Man is in Utah.
Yeah, he's shooting a movie with Tom Arnold.
Dry town, that Utah. Not a great place for the Dooch Man, or maybe it is. Shooting a movie with Tom Arnold. He's going to check in with us. Not Tom, but who knows? Maybe we'll get Tom on the blower. We'll get Danny checking in for us or with us. We'll take a break. When we come back, Tales from the Cheap. We did this a couple weeks ago. 866-901-ADAM. Your stories of cheapness. I'll take your family stories. I'll take the stories growing up. I'll take your own personal stories. You ever get a horrible present? We got the shrimp deviner in the grab bag.
Hard to beat that one.
Hard to beat that. There's the powdered milk. There's the powdered eggs. There's my grandmother freezing everything that passed through her kitchen. My grandmother had a freezer, still has a freezer, just filled with jars, mayonnaise jars and pickle jars. Like I went in there. I went in there just about 3 weeks ago. I opened the refrigerator. I saw a mason jar. It said Snot Rocket, 1968. Apparently, someone had just fired a snot rocket in 1968. My grandmother scooped it up. She said, that's protein.
I remember that.
She froze it for future generations. Yeah, my dad used to buy the generic spaghetti and the big chub pack of ground beef. You know that ground beef that's 103% fat?
Yeah.
That was pop water.
Comes in a log, size of a cabin log. Just roll it. You have to roll it into the house.
So you want people...
29 cents. You'd fry up a burger. The burger would start out the size of a manhole cover, yeah, and it would finish the size of an Oreo.
Yeah.
And it'd be, just be swimming in its own fat. Yes, that part where you can't cobble together three nickels to feed your face with something decent. Again, I don't understand. There's cheap and then there's stupid. I always use this as an example. You can go to a corner diner. Is there anything better than a breakfast at a good breakfast joint?
Love it.
You know what I mean? Where the pancakes are fresh and the eggs are whipped up nice and you're not getting those frozen hash browns because the nice cottage fries. And you know that corner place, that good breakfast place, the place that ain't open for dinner. They just do breakfast and lunch, that place. Well, a three-egg combo with some Canadian bacon and some cottage fries and what have you, some OJ or whatever over there. And the OJ's fresh pressed and all that stuff. All right, it's $7-$8. You can go to a crappy chain place. You can go to a truck stop where there's 700 of these things dotted all over the map, and breakfast over there is $5-$6. It's not free. It's not, well, it's $85 to eat at the corner place, and if you go to the Denny's, they give you $2. No, you save $1.75, $1.35. Hell, it's the same price for just the two eggs for the most part. Nothing against the Denny's or the chain places. Look, when you're on the road and you're driving your long-haul trucker and you got to stop, you need a place that's open 24-7, fine, go in there. But why are you walking past the little corner place, the mom-and-pop place, the place that does up a good breakfast and does it upright, to go to the crappy place where they buy in bulk and everything is powdered, it's made by a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, who just swam over across the Rio Grande? That's not cheap. That's stupid.
They often intersect.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. My dad built a condo there in the 60s.
On the right corner?
Lives. That's right.
Cheap and stupid?
That's right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Tales from the Cheap next.
Bud Williams, UFC President Dana White, from Grand Cankers, the guy who plays special ed, Jim Florentine. And live from a jail cell in Reno, Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis. What's he in jail for? Being too awesome? Oh, exploitation of a minor by a videotape. That is morally reprehensible. Not!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, cheapos. This is Tales from the Cheap. Now, let me say this before you think I'm beating up on you. Bonaducci, by the way, is in Utah filming a movie with Tom Arnold. I think we'll talk to him at some point, so it's just me and T getting by today, although we're loaded for bear. That's a good guess on the show. Here's what I want to say. First off, I was poor my entire life, and I don't mean growing up poor. I was poor my entire adult life, too. I didn't make a penny until I was about 30, 31. I brought my tax statements in. There were plenty of goose eggs in there and plenty of years where, as an adult living on my own, according to the government, at least, I made like $623, and I wasn't dealing coke out of a van either. I barely got by my whole life, but I still knew the difference between a horrible pizza and a good pizza. Price-wise, horrible pizza and good pizza, the difference, about $1.39. You can go to the place on the corner and get a nice hand-thrown slab of pizza over there for $9, or you can go to a cheap chain joint, get the crappy, thick, crusty, stuffed jalapeno crap for $7.59. It's one thing to save money, or it's one thing not to have money. It's another thing to punish yourself. And as we look around the room, because we all had exquisitely cheap families, my family, you reused paper towels over and over again and always bought the cheap generic sodas and just bad stuff. It's just super cheap. Now, that was growing up. That was 20 years ago. That was 30 years ago. Close your eyes and let's see where they are now. All rich, sitting on top of a pile of money. Mattresses just brimming with $50 bills. All on Easy Street now. Why? Why? Because they saved so much when we were growing up, right? They're rich, I tell you, rich. Think about all those super cheap people. And I don't mean smart with their money people. I just mean cheap people. The ones that said, oh, we don't have enough for this. Now, it's been 20 years. Any of them rich? Any of them have anything better than they had before? No, they adopted a downtrodden lifestyle, and that's where they're going. They're going to take that to their cheap, unmarked grave. Mike?
Yes.
Mike Lynch, do we have an intro? Let's hear our intro.
Tales from the Cheap.
Mike Lynch, a writer on the show, has a novelty cheap family.
Yes.
My family's cheap, but in a sort of pedestrian, boring way. Yours is novelty cheap. From the generic peanut butter that came from the government.
And the government cheese and the powdered eggs.
You didn't think white people ate government cheese? Was there trouble, by the way, getting the cheese away from the government being so fair-skinned?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. They'd
wrestle with the wheel.
Yeah,
where are you going, honky? Fire one warning shot. There's a white family rolling a 50-pound ball of Gouda down the street. Get them!
If I'm not mistaken, though, Mike, you got it from your grandma.
Yes, which was even worse. We were stealing government cheese from a woman.
An elderly
Social
woman.
Security.
What else,
you're
Mike?
That nerd.
I mean, can you top that?
Oh,
it's gonna be hard, but tell us this one.
Well, this one's from my sister who bore the brunt of our cheapness being the first one born. Her first car was a 1980 Chevette, a maroon Chevette. And at one point, yes. At one point,
Milady, shall I bring the Chevette around?
They wouldn't even valet it. They would just look at it and go, no.
You drive the Chevette side saddle, Milady? Yes. Maroon Chevette.
At one point, the floorboard rusted out so much from snow and things like that you could see down onto
the
road.
Flintstones
like the Flintstones, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our solution for that was not to maybe invest in a new used car or anything like that. It was to talk to my uncle, who worked for the Department of Public Works, get ourselves a yield sign, and weld it to the floor.
What?
Yes. They removed the stop sign that was in front of Mike's dad's wallet and got a yield sign. Actually taking a road sign and welding it to the floorboard.
Because that's a metal object.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh. And also this car also had a screwdriver for the stick shift.
I'm concerned about the safety of this vehicle. Why doesn't the U-joint just fall out of the bottom of the car?
Well, the U-joint wouldn't be affected by the road sign that was hammered in there. And I also told Mike, little-known fact, that a lot of the cars right after World War II in places like Germany and Italy, some of the most expensive old Ferraris and things like that had some of the signs, the metal signs, pounded into fenders and things like that because there were no materials left anymore.
Right.
So maybe your dad just took a page out of the great automotive builders of Italy and Europe.
So you're saying we're heroes.
That's right.
Wait, now how old was your sister when she had a ride around in this Chevette?
High school, you know.
You liberated the yield sign. Your father liberated the yield.
Yeah, he's a hero. Yes.
Yieldonia.
Right, and they were recycling before it was cool. They were in the forefront of that movement.
I'm sorry. Also, I'll bring up, since Halloween happened recently, my sister, one of her Halloween costumes one year, she went out as a Hershey's Kiss, which was basically a bike tube and a garbage bag.
No tinfoil?
No. Oh, tinfoil, please.
Why? Yeah, garbage bags are green, are they not?
Some of them are black.
But in the dark, it's close enough.
I would have thought it would be tinfoil to look like the Hershey Kiss.
Yeah, no.
The string
that,
on top.
That would be effort.
Yeah.
Ooh,
as I said, around this time of the year, we used to decorate. One year, we had a great combo between decorating my grandmother's rubber tree plant that she had in her living room as a Christmas tree and my mom sawing a branch off from the dying pine tree that was in the front yard and decorating that. That was good. Now, my dad had enough dignity, I think, not to buy a Christmas tree.
How about Christmas with the Lynch family? What could I expect?
Well, you know, it's weird. That's kind of the one place where we were splurge a little bit, though nothing was ever wrapped. A lot of things were wrapped in garbage bags or grocery bags.
Everything was wrapped in funny papers.
Yeah, definitely. Or at the very least, there would just be, we'd come down the stairs and there would just be three piles on the couch. Be, there's Brian's pile, there's Mike's pile, and there's... We also had what we called junk bags, which were burlap sacks full of like little $1, $2 items.
Mm. And would you be asked to eat the popcorn that was decorating the tree for a snack?
Oh, we wouldn't. That... We didn't have that.
There was no good popcorn on the tree.
No, because that wouldn't last more than 1 year.
Right. T, what'd you get? How'd you do on Christmas time?
Well, we had the Hanukkah.
You guys did Hanukkah.
We get eight presents. Yeah,
my black stepdad must have loved that.
He did. He actually really got into it. My dad.
He told you that. Later on that night, he'd be putting back a 40 with one of his brothers going... Hell yeah, man. I got a drink to forget that chinooka.
Are you kidding? We would light the menorah. My stepdad and my mom would sing together. But, you know, my...
They had a menorah made of cool cigarettes.
That's right.
Sorry, yes. T. Go ahead.
My dad was mostly poor and only slightly cheap as a result of being poor.
Mm-hmm.
For a couple years, he lived in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Rotate the tires on his house. But... Yesterday, he returned from D.C., where he was with my brother, who's in the hospital for 7 weeks. And when you're poor and then you don't work for 7 weeks, hard times.
Right.
So he had to concoct a way of getting from the airport home. Mm-hmm. And it involved a bus and a shuttle and a rent-a-car and then walking a few miles and then hoping somebody would pick him up on the side of the road.
I don't mean to trump you, baby, but the Corollas... are the only folks that would be driven to one airport when the flight was departing another airport, as I've said that many times. When, after I moved out of the house and my mom and stepdad used to do a little traveling, they would catch the shuttle flyer from the Van Nuys airport, except for they were leaving LAX. So they would need a ride to the Van Nuys airport, you know, about 6-8 hours before the flight left LAX, and then take the shuttle from that to the other. And here's all I'm saying, people. Your time is worth something.
I was going to be a big shot and hire a car service to pick him up and take him, but he couldn't have it. He was like, no, that's too much money. How much is it? No.
I know. People act like they're going to live 1,000 years. My family acted like they were born and someone said, look, you will live 1,000 years. Here's $20. Make it last. Make it last, Pops.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah, my Christmas, what I did is I learned early and often that this was going to be horrible if I just sent people out individually to buy cheap, crappy gifts. So I just collected money.
The group gift is better.
I got money, and it was a pretty easy one. I got $10 from my stepdad. I remember thinking that's insanely generous. Like, I remember going, how'd you get in this house, dude? You're giving me $10? All right. I don't even know you. All right. I'll take the 10. I take $10 from my stepdad. I get 20 from my dad, 20 from my mom, and 10 from my grandparents.
That's not bad.
If I were my grandparents, I would have gone 11 just to beat out the stepdad.
Yeah, I would, too.
You know what I mean? Like, they've been on the scene since the word go, and stepdad showed up a few months back, and he's giving me $10. But anyway, I get 10, 10, 20, and 20. So I'd get $60. And that seemed to be the mark. I mean, this is, you know, 11, 12, 13, all the way through those years. And then I would take the money, and I would pool it, and I would buy a part for a bicycle.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, I have to say, though, that even though we were poor, that I'm with Mike, the holidays, my mom was always super generous, and she was careful to get me something good. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal.
My mother would save all year. I mean, she has something she called a Christmas club at the bank, where you put in a buck a week, and then in October she would start asking us what we wanted for Christmas.
My dad had a Christmas club. He kept it by the side of his bed, and if he ever talked about giving presents, he'd hit you with it. Hey, Levi?
Yeah.
There's a good poor guy name.
Levi.
What's happening, Levi?
Not much. My mom was really cheap, and she kind of bucks the trend of, you said, because they're born cheap or they're raised poor. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she was raised in a 14-bedroom house. Her father owned a town and, like, 50 cars and stuff. But,
ooh.
She would, Levon.
Close.
But she would... like when my sister, like if I had to take a bath, she was so cheap that like sometimes she would take a bath, my sister would take a bath, I would take a bath.
Yeah, we did that too, but it was a drought thing.
Yeah, but you know, see, that's crazy. Like when you're rich and you don't tip, or you're rich and you're recycling bathwater, you come from a bunch of money, that's a sort of a neurosis or something. I don't know. It's like a Howard Hughes sort of thing. You have more money than God and you're collecting your urine. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
It's eccentric and nuts.
Yeah, which is sort of bad. Like, I knew my family didn't have any money. So the cheap thing wasn't a very bitter pill to swallow because they'd convinced me they had no money and they weren't lying. They didn't. I found that out as an adult.
The hard way.
But again, there's cheap and then there's cheap and stupid. Look, if you don't have money, you can't drive around a brand new Mercedes-Benz. You just can't, but you don't have to make floorboards out of road signs. Although there's a part of me that really appreciates your dad for that. Ashley?
Hi.
Let's hear your tales from the cheap.
Well, my aunt got us, you know, like those sets where it has shampoo and conditioner and body wash and
yeah,
lotion?
I like mm-hmm. those.
Well, she got us that, but she took the shampoo out.
She broke up the set?
And she still gave it to you?
Well, but still in the same box. Like, you could obviously see that there was a bottle missing. And then after we opened it, she proceeded to tell us how good the shampoo was.
Yeah.
So she kept it for herself, not to re-gift.
Yes. No.
Yeah, I got my aunt and uncle got me a decorative popcorn tin. 1 year, and that's the same people who used to get me the card with a nickel in it for every year you were born.
Yeah, but did they eat half of the cheese popcorn and then give it to you?
No, that would have been egregious.
But Ashley,
I ate it and then crapped into it later on when I was trapped in my garage.
It's not like you didn't reuse the tin.
No, definitely got my use out of that baby. Hey, Ashley.
Yes.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's talk to, let's see, Matt.
That was a good story.
Matt?
Hey, Adam, great show.
Thank you. Tales from the cheap.
I got you beat on the paper towel thing. My parents were so cheap, they didn't even buy paper towels. You know the kitchen rag that you kind of have in the kitchen, you wash the dishes with,
yeah.
dry your hands?
Mm-hmm.
We all sat at the dinner table. They just passed that around. We wiped our mouths with it. We wiped our hands with it and did the dishes with it after.
That's pretty good.
I know. I remember... one time I wanted a ride to Van Nuys, and I tried to call my mom out on it because I did the math because she used to complain about how much gas was all the time. And yeah. I said, look, from here to Van Nuys is about 7 miles each way, maybe a 14-mile round trip. You got that Volkswagen Squareback. Hell, I think that car is the only car I'm aware of that actually produces gasoline because it smells of gas every time I get inside. The tank could be bone empty and your eyes are watering because the engine's in the freaking thing. But I said, that thing gets 30 miles to a gallon. That's like half a gallon. And gallon, you know, gas is like, you know, 75, 80 cents. It's like 40 cents. She said, what about oil? What about wear and tear on the tires? I said, touche, ma'am. I'm going to go in my room and kill myself.
I'm curious. Like I said before. I'm curious about Matt. Now that he's on his own, does he just go sick with the paper napkins and the paper towels?
Yes, Matt. How's this manifesting itself now?
Well, I broke the mold. I'm at Target every week buying dozens and dozens of rolls of paper
That's
towels.
What I thought.
Smart. Good.
Yeah.
Overcompensate and take the environment with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. God, I could do this forever, but Joe Francis is calling in from prison. So should we pop an outro, Bald Ryan?
Join us next time for more Tales from the Jeep.
Joe Francis, the brains behind the Girls Gone Wild franchise, the man with the 100 million bucks, is in the joint. I think he's been in the joint for like 6-7 months.
Yeah.
I saw him on Access Hollywood last night. He is a broken man. He's in the joint. I think he's in Nevada. If he leaves, he has to go into the joint in Florida. And we all know about Florida. He's calling from prison. We'll talk to him next.
Oh, wow. You actually listen to these messages and the voicemail box isn't full. That's good. Kidding.
Hello! Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Joe Francis, the brains behind the Girls Gone Wild franchise, is in prison. He's on the line, but I just got a note from Teddy that said, not yet. So Joe is in prison. Now, I have, Brian,
yeah.
How about the clips? I was watching Access Hollywood last night. They did an interview with Joe Francis from prison.
They're still rolling in, but we have at least a few of them. So you want us to get started with them?
Yeah, this will give you a little backstory on Joe Francis and his time in prison.
What's your day like here?
You look out the window and you see barbed wire and fences, and it's just depressing. It's very depressing.
It's tough to feel bad for Joe Francis. The impresario behind Girls Gone Wild has made himself a multimillionaire by peddling risque images of young women. But Francis's life went from opulence to incarceration with his arrest on tax evasion and pending arrest from allegedly filming underage girls engaged in a sexual act.
It's always weird. It's weird, like, now that you guys hear this over the radio, you hear all that retarded techno music that's behind everything, but you can't play the same techno music that says Paris Hilton. This is Paris Hilton out on the town, techno music, and then they have a somber techno music right. for when Anna yes. lost her baby.
Yeah.
But Joe Francis in prison is a sort of in-between techno music.
Right, because he is in prison.
Yeah.
But
do we have a pornographer behind bars techno beat we could pull from the library?
I think we do. We rarely get to use
we
that
We need
one.
A tasteful techno beat, something that suggests sensitivity, something that conveys concern.
But not too serious, because he yeah. is the Girls Gone Wild guy.
All right, so let's play our next Joe Francis clip. And again, he's on hold. We're still waiting for him to come up. He's from a prison in Reno, Nevada.
I've interviewed you before. I've seen your home. I've seen your cars. I've seen the lifestyle that Girls Gone Wild has afforded you. Juxtapose that with where you've been the last few months.
It's a hard reality that I'm enduring right now. You know, it's for no fault of my own.
I was watching it thinking David Schwimmer could play Joe Francis
oh, yeah.
in the Joe Francis
in the
story.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
David Schwimmer is Joe Francis in Pull Up Your Top, the Joe Francis story.
This would be a really big comeback for him.
And how about a winger? The Joe Francis story.
You can be funny without making fun of someone.
Unauthorized shipping and billing. The Joe Francis story.
David Schwimmer is Joe Francis in Here's Some Beads. Well, Teddy has now removed the little sign on the computer screen that said anything. So now I don't know if Joe Francis is on the air or he's just effing with me. We have some more from Access Hollywood. Hey, Teddy, when you have under the comments, when the person's on hold and it says not yet, I understand that. But then when you erase not yet and leave it blank for a good 45 count, it makes me think something is going on. And then you rewrite not yet again.
Who screens these calls?
I was teased. They
you
told
were
me
teased.
He was coming and now
I see.
Not.
Okay. Well, let's play the rest of
now
the...
Now he places the lotion in the basket.
That was Teddy when he had all his hair. Now that he cut his hair off, he's fine. He's very close to... He went from, I don't want to be in the same room with this guy, to, I guess if there were a lot of other people in the room, I could run through the room.
I find him very pleasant, even one-on-one. I do.
Rubbing lotion in your skin, massaging it, sizing you up,
tenderizing it,
taking measurements,
pouring A1 on you and hitting it with that aluminum hammer.
He said my elbows were looking a little dry and asked me if I could just lube them up a little. But beside that.
All right, let's play our next Joe Francis clip. This is Access Hollywood last night.
A blue prison uniform and a 7x12-foot cement cell I saw for myself in Reno, Nevada. This is where Joe is living, and there are two bunks.
I'm totally embarrassed. I'm actually more humiliated now appearing in front of my peers in jail clothes than I've ever been.
I got to tell you that
most
Maria Menounos is the one they sent out on assignment.
Oh.
And I got to tell you, send Billy Bush out to the joint. Because if I'm in there, I've been in for 11 years and I'm doing hard time and I haven't touched a woman or seen anything other than one of those big hunchy diesel dykes who's walked around with the short crop hair and hit me with a billy club. If Maria Menounos comes into prison, I saw through the bars with my wood.
I think after 11 years, Billy Bush would be in just as much trouble as Maria
Actually,
Menounos.
Yeah, arguably more. But that Maria Menounos, oh, she gets like, must be nice just to stare at the clock and with each tick you get a little hotter.
Yeah, she improves.
We're all just riding a winged pony to the grave, and Maria Menounos, look at her. Oh, now Joe's on.
With his lawyer.
He's good to go. Let's punch Joe up. Joe?
Adam.
Great to speak to you.
Great to talk to you, man.
It's
good to be back home.
Yeah, well, in spirit and in voice,
spirit,
at least. I spoke to, or I should say, I watched Access Hollywood last night, so I got caught up on your story. But for those who aren't, give us a thumbnail sketch. Obviously, you're making money hand over fist. Everything is going great. The world's your oyster. It's one big party. And then how long ago do you go into jail or prison?
Well, the thumbnail thing, the whole thing started in 2003. And it's because I went into a city that they told me not to go into in Bible Belt, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and a town of about 7,000 people. And I sued the city officials because, you know, I was asserting my First Amendment privilege to be able to go and film there.
Is that Panama City?
That's correct. That's Panama City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And after suing these officials, 2 weeks after that in 2003, they came at me and charged me with 71 felonies totaling 335 years in prison on everything from racketeering to drug trafficking. They seized my Gulfstream jet. They sent out a press release saying there was cocaine found on it, a quantity of cocaine, which never was.
Mm-hmm.
They have just relentlessly pursued me ever since then. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward to 2007, where this whole thing had been going on and on and on. These people have been after me for all these years. A judge in that town, who's part of their whole little small network of good old boys,
mm-hmm.
actually put me in jail from a civil lawsuit, Adam. I went to jail from a civil lawsuit, not criminal, over
money.
So
you think this was a witch hunt? You think this was a personal vendetta against
you? It is a personal vendetta.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know
subject to monitoring and recording.
Favorite part of the show. it made me think Jim Morrison. He was had himself a little trouble in Florida many, many years ago, and I think it was sort of the guy's demise. He went up there, he got charged with lewd conduct or whatever for something he did on stage, and he got dragged back and forth to court and eventually just went to Europe ate himself to death. Do you feel in a way that this is analogous, like they're coming after you individually and trying to ruin your life?
Well, yeah, they really are, and their intention is not to just, you know, try me for something. They have said themselves, in their own courts, have said that they have lied relentlessly to try to get me. Their own judges have said they have lied with the intent to deceive the court and the judges to get me. They're committing felonies.
So
last week, they committed a felony on national television, on Nightline, by showing child pornography to Martin Bashir, a second-degree felony, in order to try to get me.
And that was stuff involving a case with some women that said they were not minors, but in fact were minors.
Were 17 years old, correct, and lied on for fine releases and said they were 18. I wasn't involved in the filming. A cameraman filmed. The two cameramen that filmed them aren't in jail. This was all about me. The other 10 people they arrested in the incident, they let go for fines, of $200 and $300.
All right, so they look at you as a sort of pornographer and they want to knock you off your perch. But now you're currently in a jail in Reno. How did that work out?
I'm currently in a jail in Reno because while I was being held in Bay County, Florida, without bail, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now how does that work? You kill somebody, they'll put a bail amount on it, it'll be high.
Because, Adam, it's a vendetta. It's a total vendetta. I am being held without bail in Florida. That's why I'm in Nevada. Hey, I have a bail in Nevada. I can leave Nevada.
Right.
I'm here because I was indicted on a tax charge, thank God, while I was being tortured in a Bay County, Florida jail.
So, Joe Francis, I'm sure I know the answer to this in advance, but do you feel like if you were somebody else, if you were just another known person, let's say you were Renee Zellweger.
Oh, why did you pick her?
You would not be.
I'm just checking.
You would not.
We're going to do role playing. I can't be Renee Zellweger.
Who do you want to be, Joe?
Okay, I don't know.
You would not be behind bars.
Maria Menounos.
All right. Oh, wow, that is the one good thing about doing time. Maria Menounos comes by with a film crew and you get to look at her.
Well, that's probably
cruel and unusual punishment.
Joe's had himself some very beautiful girlfriends, and I wonder, are your celebrity friends still in touch with you and supporting you?
All of them. I mean, look, I did Extra on Monday. Mario Lopez was up here. All of my friends have stuck by me, which is great. I mean,
you mean Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan?
Monitoring and recording.
I like the guy's recorded voice better, but hold on.
Recorded call.
I like this guy. This guy's
a California.
This guy's a professional VO artist. That chick, she doesn't sound authoritative at
all. Sorry, Joe. Is Paris Hilton still in touch with you and supporting you?
No, I have not talked to Paris, actually.
I can't believe it.
She herself has done time. She should be in your corner.
Yeah.
I mean, like fellow cons. But
right.
She's actually convicted of a crime. That's
right.
Right.
I
still have not been convicted of a
Joe,
crime. I'm sitting in jail under detention.
If you get out of the Reno jail, you'll be gobbled up by the Floridian jail. Is that true?
That's correct. That's correct. For now.
And you don't want to go back to that prison.
Jail. That's correct. But Dave Houston, who's on the line with us, is trying to resolve that.
Mm-hmm. Dave Houston, your attorney.
Yes, that's correct.
Hello, Adam.
Hello, Dave Houston. Well, Dave Houston, I'm no attorney, but it seems to me that they don't have a ton on your client, and your client has money for good representation like yourself, so this would seem like something you could solve.
Well, Adam, it's manipulation of the system at its best. As soon as I was able to get him bail in the federal case in Nevada, the Florida authorities in state court the very next day revoked his bail in the 2003 case and then refused to grant him bail concerning this arrest for possessing his own prescription medication when they locked him up in the Bay County jail, which included cholesterol medicine.
Yeah, Adam, right. When I went to jail for not settling a civil lawsuit, a judge put me in jail. That's how I ended up, and I've still been in jail ever since, because his ex-law partner was representing the girls from the 2003 case that were suing me, and he said, Mr. Francis, settle with my ex-law partner or go to jail. And
yeah.
I chose jail.
Right.
I figured I'd spend an hour or two in jail. But when I walked into jail, I had Lunesta and my own prescription medication and my own cash, and they charged me with felonies for that. The same officer.
This call is subject to monitoring and recording.
Lunesta is a sleeping pill.
That's correct.
That's the thing with the butterfly.
Right.
I have a no bail felony hold.
Mm-hmm.
For that, and that is why Lunesta is why I am in jail right now.
Wow. Hey, Mr. Houston, your attorney, I don't know a ton about the legal system, but it seems to me that almost no matter what you do, you can get bail. It's just set at a very high amount.
Well, Adam, let me give you a better example. In Bay County, there was a fellow by the name of Herman Harmon. He was alleged to have shot somebody to death with a .38 caliber pistol after he was brought to the Bay County Jail. We're talking the same court in the same jail.
Mm-hmm.
After he's brought to the Bay County Jail, he escapes from his cell, takes a guard hostage, and then tries to escape from the facility by using the guard's walkie-talkie to get them to open the doors.
Mm-hmm.
The court system in Bay County thought that type of conduct warranted an $85,000 bail. Now, Mr. Francis, who goes in with his own prescription medication, by the way, he is not searched before they put him in the holding cell. They then search him.
By the way, I've never been to jail before. I've never been to jail before either.
You don't know.
I'm ever in jail.
You don't know what the procedure is.
No.
Right.
I'm in a civil lawsuit, and I go directly to jail because the judge says you don't settle. You turn yourself in, so I turn myself in. I walk in the jail.
Well, look, I'm no fan of Florida.
I'm being held without a bail.
I can't figure out what's going on with that state, but it always seems sort of cockeyed and backwards. And I say anything that goes wrong, you go to Florida and you'll find your answers. And look, I understand Joe Francis is not the most popular guy on the planet, but it's not a popularity contest. It's just the law.
Well, and that's the problem that we've had. There has been an image created literally by Bay County since 2003. They accused Joe of drug trafficking. They never found any drugs, but yet they put out a press release, Adam, that said a quantity of cocaine had been discovered aboard his plane. There was no cocaine. It took almost a year to get the sheriff's department to take that press release off its website. They have continued to accuse him as a child pornographer when he wasn't even present when an independently contracted cameraman filmed two girls who claimed to be 18 in a shower scene. Now, to top it off, we have a state's attorney showing what the state's attorney says is child pornography to an ABC news crew to poison the news crew against Francis so they'll do an unfavorable piece on Nightline. I have never seen anything like this.
Well, two questions because we're almost out of time, Mr. Houston. Do you think there'll be a countersuit, for lack of a better term? Is there going to be some money coming Joe Francis's way from Dade County after the dust settles on this thing?
It's Bay County. Our primary concern right now, Adam, has to be to get Joe out of jail. He's never been convicted of a crime.
And when do you think that'll happen? Will I be able to have Joe over for Christmas?
It's subject to monitoring and recording.
Two things are happening right now. We filed a motion in Florida to dismiss the entire case for prosecutorial misconduct, which would take an hour to talk about. We've also filed a motion in federal court in Nevada asking the federal court to take over this bail situation because of the unconstitutional aspect of what Florida has done. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact the federal government gave Joe bond, the Florida court system, which is what we call an inferior court system, revokes his bail the very next day, which they didn't have the authority or jurisdiction to do.
All right, so over under, out by Christmas?
We would hope so.
All right.
By next week, hopefully.
Thanks, guys. Hey, good luck to you, Joe.
Thank you, Adam. And when I really appreciate you having me on, man.
When you do get out, and I hope it's soon, come see us, and we'll get the whole story firsthand.
I would love to, man. Thanks for the invitation.
All right.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Mr. Houston. Well, Joe Francis. Girls Gone Wild. Yeah, you know, again, think what you want about Joe Francis, but the law is just the law. That chick's supposed to be blindfolded. Know what I mean? The one who holds the scales?
Yeah.
She's got one of those sleeping shades on?
Right.
That's where I got the idea to take a nap. I went to court and I looked at her and I said, hey, what is that, a blindfold? Nah, it looks like a sleeping shade. What time is it?
You think justice isn't blind in the case of Joe Francis?
Well,
they see the sleaze factor.
Look, he's not a guy you'd want dating your daughter. I don't know if a society built of Joe Francis's would be a great society, or Francis would be a great society. On the other hand, the law's written down in books, and you're supposed to read the text and then do it accordingly, independent on whether you like the person's politics or their persuasion. All right. We'll take ourselves a break, T.
Yep.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, the STD rankings are out, and I'll tell you who's number
chlamydia.
One in the polls.
Come on. I got 11-1 with Cousin Sal. Jimmy's Cousin Sal with chlamydia before the season.
Yeah.
So if this... I only bet $100, but I get $1,100 if chlamydia wins.
What's the VIG?
The VIG, I give Cousin Sal a herpy shanker.
That's what I figured.
We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
Getting a visit from comedian Harland Williams. From Crank Anchors, the very special Jim Florentine.
Yay! I like Adam!
The UFC's Dana White. The news with Teresa Strasser. And Danny Bonaducci will phone it in. Literally, he's in Utah right now, and he'll call the show later, so he'll phone it in. You know, that's what literally means. Anyway, 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Dude.
Play the whole drop.
I waited for you, man.
Now, is he talking to a dignitary, a politician, or a beautiful woman? No, he's talking to big fat Seth Rogen.
Dude, I waited for you, man.
That was his description about waiting for Seth Rogen at the Hempies.
Is that what they're called? Stonies?
He was on the Hesh carpet.
Dude,
waiting for the Hempies.
I waited for you, man.
He would have been crestfallen if his pot-smoking... corpulent hero Seth Rogen didn't show up. All right, T.
Yep.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Kanye West's mother spent a reported 8 hours in surgery on Friday, having a tummy tuck and a breast reduction. Sources say the doctor, Dr. Jan Adams, began the surgeries on Donda West Friday morning. Didn't finish until Friday evening. After it was over, he sent her home instead of to a medical facility to recover. Some doctors are saying that was a mistake. Of course, off the record, they're saying that. And that the amount of time she spent in surgery was about twice as long as it should have been. And was an indication that something went horribly wrong. The autopsy on Donda was performed yesterday. Here is Captain Ed Winter of the L.A. Coroner's Office.
The autopsy was performed. However, the final causes of death have not been determined pending further toxicology. The death of Dr. West was reported to the coroner's office on November 12th as resulting from possible complications from cosmetic surgery. Surgery had been performed on November 9th at a surgical center. Dr. West was released to her home following the surgery. On November 10th, she was found unresponsive.
And again, this is an even bigger tragedy because of how much black guys love their moms.
Kanye and his mom were very close. It was well documented. She wrote a book about him. He had a song about her.
I'm seeing footage of him up on stage in front of a festival crowd. She's standing right next to him rapping.
Yeah.
Then he's signing a book. She's sitting next to him signing books. Then there's bootleg video of him on a couple of groupies and mom is standing there holding a camera. I mean, his mom, there's footage of his mom. Like, T,
yeah.
If I hopped into the archives, could I find some footage of you and your mom up on stage? Just hours of footage of you and your mom up on stage or you or your mom at book signings or whatever?
For one thing, she's very shy. And for another thing, no.
Yeah.
No.
Listen, white people, we're okay with our moms.
Yeah, please come once in a while.
Sure.
Sit in
how
the back.
Would I know that?
Don't sit up front. It makes me nervous.
We got nothing against our moms,
no.
But wasn't one of those situations where she held down five jobs and dad was a Rolling Stone,
right.
And she brought home the bacon and she's my best friend and I'm mm-hmm. going to buy her a house.
You get the occasional one, but it's women like Hillary Swank was always with her mom.
I think of her as black.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie was close to her mom.
I look at her as black.
Same
as well.
Thing.
Yeah.
No,
actually, I look at her as Puerto Rican.
Really?
I like to spin the wheel of ethnicity. Yeah, this is a tragedy for Kanye. You talk to a white guy. Find a white guy. What's Kanye, 35?
Yeah, maybe in there.
Talk to a white guy, 35-year-old. Mom died. He's like, yeah, mom's dead. You cool with that? Not what I was hoping for, but we're cool.
Kanye, however.
Best friend. Rapping. Traveling on the road. As I've said, I said it, I think, in the 9 o'clock hour yesterday. You don't think that rappers have a special bond with their mom? And white guys don't. There's one white rapper. Who is it?
Eminem.
Hates his mom.
Couldn't hate her more.
Writes songs about what a filthy whore she is, and then she sues him.
Yeah.
You think that happened with Biggie Biggs? Or Tubby Smalls?
Biggie Smalls?
Biggie Smalls, or, Tolly Shorts? Tolly Shorts is going to be my comedy name.
Tolly Shorts.
If you're ever sitting at a smoky club about midnight and they say, next up, welcome the comedy stylings of Tolly Shorts, you'll know it's me in a wig and mustache trying out new material.
The audience will think they heard Pauly Shore and run.
The brothers love their moms.
Sure. Now let's talk about this doctor.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody.
Dr. Jan Adams.
Yes.
Wow.
Dr. Nick Riviera.
Wow. Exactly. He is.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Hi, Dr. Nick. The media have been digging up reports on this guy that you would not believe. Yesterday was a bee's nest of activity at TMZ. Every 5 minutes, they were getting some new report from the court or, first there were the DUIs that came out yesterday.
Tell me if you can substantiate this.
Okay.
I heard that it was such a bee's nest of activity.
Yeah.
Such a hive of activity over TMZ that Harvey actually spent a couple of dry erase markers, ran out of ink, and had to use his head to draw on that Lucite board. Is that true?
Still worth it.
He actually put his forehead up against that Lucite board and just started writing Kanye.
You mean with the Grecian?
With a scalp, yes.
Yeah.
Is it true?
When you're in a pinch, Adam, and you need to write something down and you don't have your dry erase pen, what do you want him to do?
That's true.
What do you want him to do?
Hey, resourceful.
This is a huge story.
It is.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe. Now, this to me was the most amazing of the claims. There was a bartender. And by the way, Jan Adams is a guy who was on Oprah. He had a show on the Discovery Health Network called Plastic Surgery Before and After. And he was on The Other Half with Danny Bonaducci.
I saw a clip of that.
They worked together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if Danny calls in, he can tell us what his feelings about the good doctor were. But this, to me, was the most shocking thing I learned yesterday. There was a lawsuit filed in L.A. County Superior Court by a woman named Tina Lucas, claiming she was a bartender, and this doctor, Dr. Adams,
mm-hmm.
was a customer of this bar.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew his name, and they were glad he came.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Tina Lucas.
Uh-huh.
He offered to perform some liposuction on her upper arms and abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
She was an aspiring model and actress. She said, sure. As she was going under before the procedure, he whispered that he loved her and that he was going to marry her.
Yeah, but my dentist does that to me. If I have root canal or something.
He loves you?
I'm in the throes of nitrous. I'm in a weird nitrous fog.
Yeah.
And Dr. Brenneman, just, you know, 60-something-year-old Jew, as I'm drifting off, last thing I hear is, I love you.
That's...
I want to marry you. And then I just go off into this haze.
He's trying to make you comfortable.
What do you
scary.
Want?
It's scary.
Well, there's
sure.
a hell of a lot worse you could get. You get, I'm going to kill you with this drill.
You could get, this ass hurts, dude.
you could get open wide, and I'm not talking about your mouth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
As far
so
as I look, I wish every night before I drifted off in my Merlot-fueled haze, somebody just leaned over and went, I love you.
I'm going to marry you.
Yeah, I wish Molly did that.
That'd be sweet.
Instead of kill the twins.
It got off to a nice start with the I love you. Maybe a little inappropriate, maybe. So she goes under. She has her surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then... after that, he decided to make some house calls to her home to check up on her.
Yeah.
In this suit.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Must be confusing for hot chicks because everyone is so friendly.
Like, does everybody get a house call?
Yeah, you leave your glasses at a restaurant. I'm just going to run them over. I'll bring them over.
That's how everybody gets
right
their
over.
Stuff, right?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. When you're ugly and you leave your glasses. Yeah. Hey, fatty. Hey, Albatross, why don't you haul your dimpled ass over here and pick him up? And by the way, we're closing in 10 minutes, so why don't you hustle your fat ass? There's no good-looking waiters going, I'll drop it by. I'll head over to Nicole's house. I'll bring it by. It doesn't exist.
No.
Everyone gets super friendly, and that's how you know they want to F you.
Well, I'll tell you what must be confusing when you get everything delivered to you and house calls, and then you turn 50, and all of a sudden...
Right.
You have to do things for yourself.
Yes.
Well, this woman was home. She got a house call from the good doctor, and he insisted on taking her out for dinner, although she was heavily medicated at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Gave her a few glasses of wine. She said she was heavily intoxicated, and that's when he took her to his house and had sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
Then she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she wanted to keep the baby, but she didn't.
What is it with the brothers and birth control? The man's a doctor, for the love of Christ.
He knows how babies are made.
I know he's a plastic surgeon.
But still, he
OBGYN,
probably...
But he can still do the math on the pulling out. Can he not?
I would think. But she was heavily medicated at the time and also drunk.
Uh-huh.
So he referred her to an OBGYN to, quote, take care of the problem. Now, this woman, the bartender, is also claiming that he botched her two surgeries.
Uh-huh.
She sued for sexual battery and malpractice because of the botched surgeries. He denied the allegations, but he did settle.
My wife admonished me the other day, which is if you don't go with the abortion and you actually see the kids through to term, you have to stop calling them the problem.
Yeah.
At a certain point, somewhere around their second birthday,
taking
you should stop saying the problem.
Yeah.
The problem's wet to bed. The problems need to be picked up from preschool.
Mistakes.
Oh, let me hear little Natalia again. One more time.
Daddy. Aww. Well, this baby never got to grow up and say daddy to Dr. Adams.
Give me the daddy one more time, Walt Bryan.
Daddy.
Yeah, she was talking to a clothes hamper, but it was still touching.
She thought that was you. It had a hat on it.
Actually, she passed an ATM.
Ah.
She saw money coming out of a slot and said,
Daddy.
Start pointing at Daddy. That's Daddy, right?
Well, here another
That's all she knows. I just show up, spit money out of my ass, and leave. That's all.
We'll play with her.
Daddy.
Show her Elmo. Your beloved Elmo. Okay, a woman named Bonita Hovey is suing Adams for a botched tummy tuck. She claims that he falsely presented himself as board certified, which he is not.
He's not board certified?
You don't have to be in order to practice plastic surgery.
Ah, that's right. You become a internist. You have, you do emergency medicine or any other kind of medicine, and then you just go to a weekend class in Florida. You get a certificate, and then you start doing plastic surgery.
Another patient, Rhonda McLean, just filed a malpractice suit against Adams. Botched breast implant surgery. Apparently, she almost bled to death, according to her claim. Another recently filed suit by Terry Cage. She underwent a breast augmentation, tummy tuck, and lipo, and was left sick, sore, lame, and disabled, according to her claim.
Mm.
I mean, it just goes on and on.
There's a problem, too, with working with people and doing plastic surgery on people. Most your client base is nuts. They have issues. They come in having issues.
They're possibly body dysmorphic.
Yeah, I mean, think about all that stuff involving Dow and the implants and the silicone, and it all turned out to be nothing. But yeah, you have millions of women, or at least hundreds of thousands of women, claiming they have phantom pains. You're dealing with a subsection of the populace that's nuts in the first place, so there's a real high likelihood there's going to be lawsuits. You see, when you're working and doing emergency medicine and you're working with undocumented construction workers that fell on stuff, there's no lawsuits. When you're dealing with crazy broads who are coming in and getting tummy tucks and lip implants and stuff, you're going to have a lawsuit every third chick that goes through there. Anyway, this guy sounds like the devil.
I don't want you to think it's all malpractice and sexual battery. No.
Mm-mm.
He also had a restraining order. An ex-girlfriend named Deborah Pratt asked for and received a restraining order barring Dr. Adams from being around her or her kids. She claimed he had a drinking problem, that he was abusive when he was drunk.
Well, when you look at the guy and you look into his eyes, it is fairly telling. You know,
you can see the evil.
Well, it's like Harlan Williams is coming in here next. You know, Harlan's done a ton of movies, did the mixed pro sounds for a living. He did that, like, stoner movie. The hell was that movie, Barbara? He did Half-Baked, and he did, like, Space Cadet or Spaceman or whatever.
We better change the subject.
Yeah. Now, picture Harlan Williams. When they show a headshot of Harlan Williams, going, this guy got a restraining order, this guy's wanted by the police, this guy's botched surgeries, you're looking at that guy going, come on, he's fine. Must be her fault. But you see this guy, you look into his eyes. Looks like Ving Rhames. Scary.
This past April, the Medical Board of California filed legal papers trying to revoke or suspend Dr. Adams' medical license due to three DUI convictions, 2003, 2004, 2006.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what happened. You'd think they'd be able to suspend his license as a result of three DUI convictions.
Right.
But they were not
three.
Able to suspend
I heard
it.
Two.
I heard two. That was the news yesterday. Now they've dug up a third. So, I mean, it just goes to show you should research your doctor, obviously. But when you see a guy on television, and I believe he went to Harvard, well, he would seem like, you know.
You get that Oprah stamp of approval.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm not going to buy those pajamas that she told me to buy in her favorite things either.
Me neither.
I know you like PSAs, and I'm going to get to one of those in a second.
Public service announcements.
But first, on to VD.
Mm-hmm.
Smoking sucks.
According to the CDC, last year, more than 1.03 million Americans got which STD?
Hmm. I think I may have guessed it before we went to break. I said chlamydia.
And you were right. Chlamydia, that's the most new cases in 1 year of any STD ever in U.S. history.
Hey, hold on. Let me say this because I've been wanting to say this since this time last year. In your face, gonorrhea! In your face! How's it feel? Huh? How's it feel?
It itches.
Last year, I know, and it burns too. Last year, I took gonorrhea. No, last year, I took chlamydia. And gonorrhea kicked our ass.
Well, it's
and they talked. They never stopped talking.
A lot of trash.
A lot of celebrating.
A lot of your face.
Some say worse than Red Sox fans.
No.
Yes. Yes. The gonorrhea fans, worse than Red Sox fans.
Well, the
That's right. I read it in Bill Simmons' column on ESPN the other day.
Dear Online Diary.
Dear Online Diary. Oh, wait. I wrote dairy. Hold on. Delete. Okay. Dear Online Diary. F you, chlamydia. F you, gonorrhea. Tom Brady does not have either of the aforementioned venereal diseases. Hold on. I wrote Varathane. So delete. Okay. Tom Brady. Hold on. I gotta masturbate. Wait a minute, don't write that. Don't write masturbate. Get it together, Simmons, man. Delete. Tom Brady does not have either one of these venereal diseases. He's got a quarterback rating of 151. Thus, that raises you above
the level of a man who would get a venereal disease. So screw you, gonorrhea, and go Sox. P.S. P.S. Delete.
Couldn't think of a P.S. Mm. Now, chlamydia.
Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
P.S. G.S. Go Sox.
I like that. Well, mm-hmm. chlamydia, number one in the rankings this year. The old record was set in 1978 when 1.01 million Americans got gonorrhea.
Mm.
Now, chlamydia's back on top.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good news. The record high chlamydia number may not be because we're all having unprotected sex more often. It might be because more of us are getting tested for chlamydia, so it's being detected earlier and more often. But about 75% of people with chlamydia don't show any symptoms.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, on to a public service announcement. This is a real PSA. It's from Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight. And she's using Iggy, Ellen DeGeneres' former adoptive dog, mm-hmm. to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mary Hart, and this is Iggy. Iggy became an international celebrity when a rescue agency placed him with Ellen DeGeneres, and she, with the best of intentions, gave him to a friend. The agency asked for his return and placed him with another loving pre-screen family, and that, of course, made headlines around the world. Unfortunately, with all the debate, something was lost. And every day, approximately 13,000 dogs and cats, just like Iggy, will be euthanized unless someone, maybe you, reaches out, rescues them, and gives them a home. Yes, it is important that you read the paperwork you sign when you adopt a pet. Yes, it's important that you understand and follow the rules. But today, what is most important is that you act and contact the pet adoption organizations in your hometown. I thank you, and Iggy.
No, I'm going to go out of the country to adopt a pet.
In your hometown.
True that, peeps.
She thanks you, and Iggy thanks you.
My Brangelina over here.
I think they're worried that the whole Iggy flap will prevent people from adopting dogs.
Couple things, quickly. Mary Hart, ever been a better-looking person you didn't want to have sex with than Mary Hart?
Not sexy, but pretty.
Right. Now, I know she's getting a little bit long in the tooth, but she still looks great.
Gorgeous.
And even thrown back 20 years to the old days of Entertainment Tonight. Hypothetically, people, especially fellas, when there's a beautiful woman, you want to have sex with her. Has there ever been a better-looking person that you really didn't want to have sex with?
Oh.
Now, eliminate the, I want to tell my buddies I had sex with Mary Hart. You have to eliminate that.
If she was just a
She's a receptionist.
Teacher. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know her. Obviously, she's spoken, because if you just saw her, you'd probably want to hump her.
I enjoy her, but, you know, I'm female. Bob Bryant.
Bob Bryant says Vanna White.
Yeah, Vanna White's the only one I can think of, but no, Mary Hart is sexless.
Ah. I might toss Hilary Swank onto that list. Hilary Swank.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Tell me if you think this would be a bad career move.
Okay.
Or be the greatest piece of publicity I've ever got. I kidnap Iggy.
Yes.
I take Iggy to an island. Maybe the one that
David
Copperfield has or Joe Francis has.
Okay.
I take him to an island and I do a pay-per-view where I'm going to blow him up with an M80. First off, there would be a whole countdown thing. There'd be Iggy Watch. There'd be authorities.
Be a whole network.
There'd be
ITV.
International news. Yeah. The world would chime in. Now, how famous would I be? I'd be a pariah and everything, but they really couldn't do too much to me.
Could you live with yourself for blowing up the dog?
They euthanize thousands of them a day, according to Mary. Who cares?
They just give them a shot and they go to sleep.
Well, listen, what if I said to you, hey, T.
Yeah?
Good news and bad news.
Okay.
You're going to die in the next 10 minutes.
That's the good news.
Good news is you'll get to do it with an ether rag. Instead of being blown up.
Both are good.
Would you feel any better? Yeah, they both suck. I could make an argument for blowing up.
You could?
Well, I mean, look, lethal injection, you see coming, takes a while. I'd rather just be the guy at the Sparrow Pizza with the vest and the Quran tucked under my armpit. I really would.
Blaze of glory?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, good or bad for the Ace Man's career if I kidnap Iggy?
You would get a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
And I've learned something sitting next to the douche man over the last few months.
I was just thinking that.
Press is press, baby.
That's the thing. You got to cook up some excitement and some enthusiasm.
They're either talking about you or they're not.
Right. No such thing as bad publicity, even if you're blowing up a little adopted dog.
I do feel like there'd be a lot of people that would take my side.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Against Iggy.
Well, once the backlash got bad enough against me and people were calling for me to be destroyed like Iggy and things like that, somebody would step up. I feel like I could be worked into one of Bill Maher's monologues.
I think so, too. He might defend you.
Or he'd tell people to prioritize.
Right. It's just a dog. Adam's a human being, some say.
All right. Let's not talk about it anymore, but I'm going to give it some thought.
I'm concerned about how you're going to find the dog.
Where is Iggy?
That's the thing. No one knows. He's with a new family.
Mm-hmm.
But on The Insider the other night, they promised that they were going to have a whole thing on Iggy. Never happened, to my knowledge, unless I missed it.
I watch Access Hollywood. Well, I saw The Insider. Pat O'Brien had some bad news, which is Iggy's publicist canceled.
Right.
Last minute.
Yes.
Turns out to Iggy OD'd on prescription meds.
Lunesta.
Well, the publicist said dehydration.
Right.
But as it turns out, Iggy washed down some Lunesta with some Jaeger and almost OD'd and was getting some elective surgery from a black doctor.
Horrible combination. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
All right, good news, everybody. Harlan Williams, one of our favorites. I've said it before. They're funnier stand-ups, but nobody does better bird sounds than Harlan Williams. He's a delight. He'll be in next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
Everybody's doing something. Fat people getting their stomachs stapled. Hey, here's a clue. Chubby, why don't you go one step further? Get your f***ing lips welded shut. People want to stay young forever using wrinkle cream. Wrinkle cream doesn't work. Take it from me. I've been using it for 2 years. My f*** still look like raisins.
Harlan Williams is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Harlan. Happy birthday.
Oh, how'd you know, buddy?
I just heard it was your birthday.
Sometimes a gift sent to the house is even more fun than just a regular old happy birthday. It's fun.
I was listening on the ride in. I was listening to another radio station.
No, don't say that.
They were pumping the jams, and they said celebrity birthdays.
Ah. What?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Earth
Day? And they went down the line, and yes, it's celebrity birthdays. And they were like, hey, everybody, comedian Harlan Williams has turned 43 today.
Wow, 43. I wish.
And then the chick chimed in, and she went, who is that dude?
Oh.
and then the guy went, you know, Harlan Williams.
Yeah.
He did Rocket Man. It's his birthday. And then she went, I didn't see that, and I've never heard that name in my life. And then the guy said, no, he's seriously a legitimate comedian. And then the chick said, I thought these birthdays were only for celebrities.
Yeah.
And then the guy got angry, and he said, I like Harlan Williams. Yeah. And she's like, I would argue with you, but I've never heard that name in my life. And then eventually he just caved and said he is a hack. And then he said,
he yelled
at the dump guy, and he said, can we dump out and reboot? And the guy said, no, we've went too far into the show.
This is the worst birthday present I've ever heard.
I heard furniture breaking, and then they just played a Mott the Hoople song just popped in. All the young dudes just popped in. And then I got here to work, so I don't know what happened.
All she needs to know is that I am 43 years old of fresh meat. I'm solid.
You're looking 40. Very good.
I am?
Yeah, you're looking just trim and tan.
You know what you're looking like, Harlan Williams?
What?
You looked beleaguered the whole time I've known you.
Yeah,
you looked like one of these guys. One of the guys who's been broken by his marriage.
You know,
one of these guys.
My fifth marriage,
You know, when they go like, when you do that thing where you're talking to someone and you go, when did you guys meet? And the guy goes, high school.
Oh, yeah.
Which means I've been banging the same hag for 30 years.
Yes. Come on, guy.
I'm sorry, but you looked beleaguered.
Yeah.
And now you look freshly minted.
Yeah, what's going on
with
like
you? It's like you're single and you're out trying to get laid.
Let me tell you two things. Okay. You know, some people go to the tanning salon and get that fresh glow going. Mm-hmm. I go over to Krispy Kreme Donuts and get glazed every morning.
I saw the Jimmy's on you, yeah.
Yeah, I lay on that thing and go through. And yeah. And as far as being beleaguered, you're wrong on that one. I've been going down to SeaWorld in San Diego, and I've been recently dating a beluga, so I'm belugued, my friend.
What would that beluga whale sound like? And if you two were making love, what would that sound like, Harlan
hey,
Williams?
Don't try to step into my fish tank, buddy. That's a private world. That's a private blowhole world. No. This isn't Three's Company, Joyce DeWitt.
She does have a little of that working
don't
for her.
Don't you dare.
Hey, Harlan Williams is going to be at the Bray Improv tomorrow through Sunday doing his aquatic life humor.
Yeah.
Two shows on Friday and Saturday. You can go to improv.com for tickets and information. You know, something to look forward to, kiddies. Jim Florentine, another great comedian, and has done a lot of work with us on Crank Anchors over the years.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Yeah, now there's a character he does that belches in real time, and
it's one
of my all-time favorite Crank Anchor calls. He's coming in, and the last time he was in here, I think David Alan Greer was in here.
Oh.
And we did a little, you say tomato, I say tomato, but we did it with the belch and we did it with the vomiting. Maybe we'll hear just a little bit of that because he's going to team up with Harlan Williams. And Harlan, you're going to do either your whale sound or your crow sound.
Oh, my God. Whales, good. That's a good one. But whales, people like whales early in the morning, too.
Well,
people love a nice white albino whale like a beluga. They're the albinos of the whale world.
We'll do a little combo, but first let's hear the old one with Jim Florentine and David Alan Greer. You say, I say, you say, and I say. Let's call the whole thing off. I like. And you like, you like, and I like. Let's call the whole thing off.
Take that, NPR.
Wow.
And the show has reached a new low.
That was wet.
Do you think you can compete?
I think maybe the whale, the beluga, could do that one.
All right. Well, either that or the crows. Hey, Harlan.
Maybe mix it up.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Crows and whales.
Trio.
Let's see David Allen, Zachary Greer pull that sucker off, huh? Zachary Greer.
Let me ask you this, Harlan Williams.
Leave it to death row.
A few days ago on the show, I came up with what I thought would be the most formidable fighting weapon that this planet has ever seen.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Now, we've seen it all. We've seen the throwing stars.
Yeah.
We've seen the mace, the balls and the chains and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let me guess. Eggo waffles?
No.
I've been eggoed. Is that
no,
it?
No. Oh. No, because I would be yelling at the criminal with my mouth wide open yelling.
Oh, my God.
I dare you to throw that eggo at me. No. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Seagull. Nunchucks.
Oh, wait a minute. Say that
two
again.
Two seagulls. Seagull.
Yeah.
Nunchucks.
Yeah.
It is two seagulls attached by the leg by 3 foot of chain.
Okay.
3 foot of chromium chain.
You could come at me with that, but what if I have osprey nunchuck? If I take you down, honky.
If I came at you with seagull nunchucks, your only chance, your only recourse is to step backward.
No, I got osprey. I mean, take you down, white boy.
Oh, you know what I'm doing now?
What?
I'm going one seagull, one crow.
I got blue heron nunchuck. I take you out.
Not gonna
albino
work.
Albino freak.
Spinning around, nothing but a cloud of beaks and feathers with a crazy caw coming from the seagull.
Oh, I got the whooping crane nunchuck.
Who would not step back? Do not.
How about lean back, player?
I don't even know what that is. You're from Canada. You know 700 kinds of birds.
You can keep it
coming. I'm from North Hollywood.
I can keep going. You know birds? Look in your backyard. You got blue jays?
Here's what we do. In North Hollywood, we have big birds and small birds.
No.
That's it.
You know what the California state bird is? You better know this, wild boy. I'll fly across this table and egg a waffle your ass. Lean back, player.
Let's see. California. Condor? Must be the condor.
No.
It's a California condor.
Think the entertainment industry.
Wait a minute. The crane?
The California condor has a 9-foot wingspan, by the way.
Yeah.
You Majestic. Do know a lot about birds.
Yeah, I know a lot about nature, period.
Mm-hmm.
What is our bird?
In keeping with the entertainment world, it's the mockingbird.
Really?
And these dumbass birds are up in my house, and not only do they annoy you in the morning, but they are the impersonators, they're the Rich Littles of the bird world. They pick every other bird's thing in the morning and do 50 voice. They do their routine in the morning while I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, they do the other bird calls.
No, they mimic.
They do all of them.
It is weird.
Asses.
Tell me how this works. Once in a while, nine times out of 10, you just sleep in on the weekend and you hear no birds.
Yeah.
But one out of those 10 times, they all start going off at like 4:30 or 5 in the morning.
That's the mockingbird.
What are they doing up at that hour?
I Googled them, and what happens is they're these weird birds. They're the only birds that do that at 3, 4 in the morning. It's the male's way of protecting their territory.
Mm.
So they send out a message to every other bird, like a sparrow or a chickadee is going to go into a mockingbird nest, but they still got to do it.
Yeah. Birds are dumb and mean.
Except for owls. They're the wisest of all birds. Like the other day, there was an owl in my tree hooing. So I ran out with a Rubik's Cube and threw it at it. And 30 seconds later, it came back completely done perfectly. Yeah. They're wise. They are wise and they have big eyes and they turn their heads around like Linda Blair at a Scottish kilt festival.
Hey,
wild guy.
Harlan.
You got ring around a collar.
Harlan, you do a
hot shot.
You do a pterodactyl sound, don't you?
I do.
Give us a shot.
Can you ask a little nicer than that, maybe?
Do it, bitch. All right, I'll tell you what we need to do, Harlan.
What?
Sit tight.
You got ring around the collar, hot shot.
Because I have a pet pterodactyl. I like to throw celebrities in a volcano with it. I feel like you could help us.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a couple celebs I'd like tossed in.
And I'd be interested to see if Harlan Williams is annoyed by any celebrities and would like to get rid of them.
Oh, there's a good treat. Throw them to the beluga or the pterodactyl.
Let's put the beluga in the volcano, and then we'll toss them into the volcano with the beluga.
This is getting funner and funner.
All right, T, come up with a couple celebs you wouldn't mind tossing the volcano.
Yeah, I got some.
Harlan, you come up with some. Okay. I got a few loaded, and we'll be back with my pterodactyl. And then Jim Florentine will be in here to belch his ass off with Harlan Williams. We'll do that next.
Oh, my God, man. Ever since 7-Eleven, everything's nuts. All those guys are extremely uptight. I'm going through security, and the guy at security looks at me, and he says to me, he goes, "Hey, buddy, are you an illegal alien?" I looked at him right in the eyes and I said,
More with Harlan Williams on the Adam Carolla Show.
Harlan Williams in studio. He's going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow. That is Thursday through Sunday. Two big shows, Friday and Saturday.
You never come to my shows. I'm hurt, deeply wounded, and in therapy.
Well, here's the problem. The word Brea is right in the name Brea Improv.
It's not Braille. It's Brea.
Well, can you play the Melrose Improv? I'll go to that.
Yeah, I'll do that next the other week.
I got a brick wall in front of my house. Why don't you just come by there? I'll watch you.
Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Roll it back there, Peppersmith. What the hell's that? I just invited you to Brea, and you just uninvited yourself very gracefully.
Cool your jets, Pimento Loaf.
Wow.
I don't like driving, and I don't like comedy. Anyone who listens to the show, I do love you.
Well, that's why you come to Daddy's World for once.
Well, I'd rather just go to Daddy's house.
Oh, you would?
Mm-hmm.
I could probably do some routines at my house for you.
How about we just hang out and you just make bird noises and I make us a nice souffle?
Okay.
Speaking of, this is nice chit-chat, but I've got a celebrity running free right now while you guys casually...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm concerned.
We're talking about Terry, my pterodactyl. He lives high atop. Actually, it's a she, I think. I think we figured that out for some reason. She lives, for some reason, in the animal kingdom, the women are always meaner than the fellas.
We have to protect our young.
Yeah, she's up top of the Arco Tower up there posing as a gargoyle. But when I blow my whistle, when I blow my secret silent whistle, she comes to life and swoops down and gobbles up celebrities on red carpets. 36-foot wingspan. You want to hear what the silent whistle sounds like?
Yeah. And
you want to hear what it sounds like when Terry comes to life?
Okay.
I'm going to blow it. Here I go. In flight.
You're like the pterodactyl whisperer.
All right, let's, and again, I don't want anything. I don't want to see the celebrity shot or killed or get into horrible car wrecks. I just want to see him go off into the sunset and be dropped into a smoking volcano in the distance. Let's hear our intro.
Swooping down from the Arco Tower. It's Adam's pterodactyl. You can run, but you can't hide.
Who do you got, T?
I can't see any more pictures of Vanessa Minnillo frolicking on any beaches or in Mexico or a knife play with Lindsay Lohan. Her life is too wonderful.
Yes.
I can't have her in the world anymore. I can't open up a magazine when I'm getting my nails did and see pictures of her and also... entire interviews about how she loves watching football and cooking for her man. Goodbye.
Yes, her and Nick, what's his nose?
Lachey. Oh,
Nick boy. Lachey. Yeah, those two, first off, put a shirt on. One of you.
Yeah.
I mean, all he does is wear his board trunks. She's in her bikini, and they just stand on a beach somewhere and hammer residual checks.
That's what they do.
Any guy that he, by the way, has that thing that stupid guys do, which is they think it's a good idea to get the barbed wire tattoo around their bicep.
Because he's hardcore.
I'm not sure what message you're telling the world.
Well, I think if you're going to get the barbed wire tattoo around your arm, you should go one step further and get a tattoo of some cattle.
Yes,
you know
on one side.
Yeah,
that's right.
Have something to
and
hold
like on the
back.
Other side, a Ford F-150 and a friendly rancher.
What'd you call me?
I called you the friendly rancher.
You're about to meet my pterodactyl.
Oh, whatever
you call it.
Yeah, I've had an ass full of her too. She's hot, but in a sort of Asian stripper kind of way.
Hello.
I think she was Miss Teen USA or one
she
of those.
She tastes like champagne.
I'm not sure what she does. She doesn't appear to work anymore. She frolics for a living.
It seems like I think she's some kind of correspondent for ET, but she does way more frolicking than working.
How many stories out of Cancun they deliver every week?
There's not that much breaking celebrity news out of Cancun. I am there's only so much jealousy that my body can withstand.
All right, I'm done
Maybe
with her
she's
as well.
A mermaid, though.
Who do you, I have,
She's frolicking not much. She's probably a damn mermaid. Have you ever seen her with her pants up?
Do the pterodactyl sound, please.
Pterodactyl.
Would you like anyone tossing a volcano?
You
Harlan
know who
Williams?
It is. But I don't know if the pterodactyl can lift this one.
Uh-oh, who is it?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Really?
Yeah.
Enough of her.
Big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie.
There you go.
What's your problem with her?
I think that said it all right there.
Big,
didn't it?
Fat, lesbian, loud Rosie.
Have you met her, Harlan, in your travels? And
no,
show business?
I wouldn't want to. And what's bad is my mother's maiden name is O'Donnell.
Oh.
So somehow I might be related to her.
Wouldn't it be horrible, A, if you were related to Rosie O'Donnell? But two, and I don't know if pterodactyls get hernia, but I think it would be worth a try. She would just set up and start blogging from the volcano.
Or she'd eat the pterodactyl on the way over.
Interesting.
Like a fricasseed chicken treat.
I'll see what I can do about her. Somebody, Eric from Vegas actually has an idea.
Oh, I love
Eric?
This guy.
Yeah, I want to say Gwen Stefani.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm tired. She's so happy. She's so successful. She's such an entrepreneur. She's always coming out with a clothing line, talking about her own sense of... I don't like anyone who talks about their own sense of personal style. I feel like I have no personal style. I have zero personal style. Yes?
Especially that commercial. She goes, creativity, you can't just turn it off and on.
Oh. Yeah.
Come on.
I know. I hate it when blowhards talk about when ideas hit them. Idea for a song or a new blouse or purse, it doesn't hit you from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. It can hit you on the weekends. I can do, yes, yeah, thank you, your genius hood.
She's good with her makeup, though, man. That girl cakes it on like a Chinese paint stripper.
Yeah.
Holy God. You got ring around a collar, hot shot.
I'd like to toss Carlos Santana into the volcano.
Ooh,
I'm just I'm tired of it.
What about his guitar? Does that go too?
That's going with him and the amps and a drum kit.
Wow, you are fired up, Frisbee Face.
Most people don't have a problem with Santana. I just feel like I'm done with him.
Wow.
Is there anything else he can offer us as a society?
We might be done with him.
I heard this lick in 1968, then I heard it again in 74, and then I heard it again in 99, and I'm afraid there's another one coming. I'm done with Santana.
Can we save his hair, though?
He couldn't.
Can we put that in a museum before we boil
what's left of it? I'm going to toss Conan O'Brien in there, too. Give me the call. Give me the call. Yeah.
Why are you taking Conan?
Conan.
He's got weird hair, and I'm tired of... You know what? I'm tired of the aw shucks. You know what I mean? 13 years, aw shucks. You're laughing at me. Just get up there and tell your stupid joke.
Yeah, I think you know you're funny. Ooh.
And he's full of his own crap now, and he's running around the stage. And if you see his monologue, it's horrible.
Oh, man. Look at you.
How about this dude? Now, this isn't a celebrity, but many celebrities fall into this category.
Who?
This a-hole. The guy who wears the scarf with the super tight T-shirt, short sleeve T-shirt. It's 91 degrees outside, but he's rocking the scarf. But it's the form-fitting tight T-shirt. Danny doesn't wear a scarf.
T-shirt, yes.
Danny wears T-shirts that were... I don't. Some days he comes in here, and I don't know if he's wearing a shirt or he just painted himself with a Sharpie.
Probably
he literally wears form-fitting. I can see what he's thinking through his spine.
Does he smell like a Sharpie?
Nope. He smells like he was dipped in Axe.
But you can't tell what he's been eating. Sometimes you can see a grape.
Yeah, I'll see.
It's partially digested.
Ew.
Banana shape.
It's like an anaconda.
I'm talking about the guy who wears the artist. The guy who wears a scarf with the super tight T-shirt, or...
If Van Gogh was alive, would you drop him in a
volcano? If he wore a scarf with a super tight Van Dutch T-shirt, I would toss his Dutch ass.
What about Professor...
His Van Dutch ass.
What about Professor Caracatus Potts?
He's going to.
The guy, the old man from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, capital P-O-S-H, P-O-S-H, posh. The bear came a lolloping over the mountain. Right? That guy?
Look, I don't want to burst your bubble, but we talked to Joe Francis from prison in the 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
The exact same chitty chitty bang bang bit.
That little corn roll freak, I'm going to pop his head like Orville Redenbacher's twin sister with the Gluteus Maximus welt on her face.
The other guy.
You got ring around a collar, hot shot.
The other guy I'd like tossed in is the close cousin of the guy who wears the tight Van Dutch shirt with the scarf.
Oh,
this is the good-looking either former male model or current model who, when he's not modeling, has the weird facial hair, wears the thick glasses. You know, he wears those, like, thick glasses, like I prefer, like horn-rimmed glasses.
Charles Nelson
and
Reilly.
And he wears a funky, like, cabbie hat.
Oh, my God, a cabbie hat.
You know, like what Johnny Depp sort of looks like when he's not working? I don't like that thing where good-looking guys make themselves ugly and they're still good-looking. It mocks me.
You're getting close to my wheelhouse now, partner.
Yeah, you're saying, I'm so good-looking that even when I attempt to make myself unattractive, I can't do it.
You know,
I can grow facial hair out to my waist. I can have hair all over the place. I can dress like a hobo. I can put these stupid nerd glasses on, and I'm still much better looking than you. And you're shaving and going to the gym.
Why you got to bring this up when you know in a week I have a catwalk show in Milan?
Oh, you're walking?
I'm walking. I'm doing my new line, and this guy's talking about dumping models in a volcano. Don't go there, sister.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see tossed in the volcano?
Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Huh.
And his little sidekick, Jay Davis, that tags around with them. Those guys are the most annoying people.
Do you know those guys, Harlan?
I do, yeah. I know Dane's a good buddy of mine. But this is America. You have your opinion.
Why don't you defend him?
Well, I am. I wouldn't dump Dane in a volcano. I really like Dane.
He's a good friend of yours?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure. We
like a MySpace friend?
No, we've worked together. We did a movie together. We worked together. We did the Employee of the Month together. But I've known Dane since... What people don't know about Dane Cook, and I want to set the record straight, that guy blew into Hollywood, and he could only get spots at the midnight shows at the comedy clubs. And this guy worked and worked and worked and worked. And I watched it. I was there for all of it. And this guy just got better and better and better every week. And I got to say, the guy deserves where he is because he really, really worked. He didn't just, like, get there because someone liked him or he was funny. He's a hardworking, funny guy.
Yes, nobody thinks he's
I'm standing up for Dane.
Than Dane Cook.
I see your point, though. That is impressive.
I'm blocking the volcano hole so I don't Dane like doesn't go down.
I'll tell you why.
Jay Davis can go down, but no, I'm just kidding.
I got to toss Dane into the volcano for multiple reasons, but one is... He's one of these guys that doesn't drink. And when I talk to a young white guy who doesn't drink, I go, what happened? You drove through someone's house and killed their family when you were loaded in college? Nope. What'd you do? Try to commit suicide? Nope. You were destitute and had to live in your car? No. I just never drank. I don't like the taste of alcohol. I've never had a drink, and I don't like feeling out of control. I don't respect that guy. Show me a guy who's bottomed out. Show me a guy who's tried to choke out a hooker when he was loaded. Show me a guy who just blacks out and defecates into bowls of Chex Mix. I'll show you a guy I can hang out with.
But wait a minute. That's everybody's story. If you watch the E! Hollywood
Chew
story.
But a guy just chooses not to drink?
Well, shouldn't you respect a guy who gets to the top living a clean life?
No.
And as opposed to all these idiots that blow it and ruin it?
No.
You have me with the hard working, but not with the not drinking.
Well, I don't drink. Now you hate me?
Why not? You better have a bottom story.
The only thing I drink is beer, but I've never even tried.
You don't try hard stuff?
I've never even tasted it.
Is that why you were tossed out of Canada?
No, I said I drink beer.
Yeah. You don't get tossed out.
I know, but don't you have to drink some, like, rye or something? Don't you have to do at least, isn't there some sort of test in Canada where you have to do, like, six shots of rye on your 18th birthday and run around a baseball bat with your forehead on it?
It's in Newfoundland, and it's called Screech. They have a thing called Newfoundland Screech. And you
Oski Wee Wee!
What'd you call me?
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Anyone else you'd like to toss in, T?
I'm getting close to Seth Rogen. Not ready yet. He has a lot of potential.
He's a sweet guy.
I know. I can't.
Dawson.
Dude. I waited for you, man.
He spoke to Dawson the other day.
I know. He's so sweet
Seth
and lovable.
Rogen.
I can't explain
Refresh
it.
Refresh my memory. Seth Rogen.
Knocked up.
Dude.
Oh, he's Canadian, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Lou.
Yeah.
Who'd you like tossed in?
Harlan Williams. Gotta go.
For what? What did he do?
He defended Dane Cook.
Oh, I see. Guilt by association. Someone wants Kanye West tossed in.
I'll go in with Dane.
The man is grieving.
Horrible.
Otis.
Hello.
My main man?
Yes.
You want Kanye West tossed into a volcano?
The blowhard, it's just going to get worse. He's already a blowhard. It's just going to get worse. It's going to be another excuse. Just reunite him with his mother, and let's be on with life.
Hi, everybody!
Wow.
All right, so good news and bad news, Kanye. Bad news, you're going into a volcano. Good news, you're going to see moms again.
Exactly.
That is horrible taste. We have... Kimora Lee Simmons, we tossed her in last week.
Yeah.
Carson Daly. Carson's a good friend of mine and the nicest guy in the world. Christy Alley and Valerie Bertinelli in and in. We'll take a quick break. Jim Florentine. Great stand-up comedian. Also known from all his Cranky Anchors appearances. He's going to be in here belching with Harlan Williams. Your career's bottomed out, Harlan.
I'm in the volcano with Dane, buddy. That's all I care about.
Hey-oh! Greatest birthday ever.
Hey-oh!
We'll take a quick break. Back next.
Hi, this is Special Ed from Cranky Anchors, and you're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Yay! I like Adam.
Jim Florentine is in studio. You know him from HBO's Inside the NFL and many, many other TV appearances, but probably most likely is the voice of Special Ed and Bobby Fletcher, the guy who belches all the time from Crank Yankers. Harlan Williams is hanging in as well because we need him.
Hey-o!
For this one bit. Harlan's going to be at the Brea Improv tomorrow, and that is through Sunday, and Jim will be at the Avalon in Hollywood Friday night. Jim, good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. I haven't burped, I don't think, since last time I was here.
Really?
Yeah, so I was just practicing in the green room before.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize when they hear those crank anchor calls of Jim burping away is it's done in real time. It's not a drop. It's not being inserted. It's not being put in or altered at some other time. There's no studio magic. He literally has a conversation and belches. Oh, please find that call, Bald Brian. I know we're running late and you think you're doing something else, but one of my all-time favorite crank anchor calls is when Jim called a guy. He was looking for a job and he was talking to a guy and the guy thought someone was on the other line and was belching into the phone. And he kept going. He kept threatening the other guy in his office and Jim kept saying how unprofessional it was. And, oh, I could tell you about it or you could just listen. It's one of my favorites.
National Law Defense Network. This is Rich. How can I help you?
Hi, Rich. This is Bobby Fletcher. I'm calling about the job.
What type of sales experience you got?
I've sold everything over the phone.
Name it. You've done it?
Right.
Well, basically what we're doing here, guy, is dealing specifically with, well, not specifically, taxes. Are you burping?
What?
Somebody's burping on this line.
I only have one line.
Okay, somebody's burping on this line, and so that means somebody is probably listening in on my phone call and being an idiot.
He did some quick math.
Or something like that.
Of course. There's some little idiots around here somewhere.
He turned on his own.
People in the middle of a conversation burping. I mean, it's pretty childish.
Okay.
What kind of salary are we talking about?
$350 a week versus commission. Whoever's burping, you're puking. If you got enough guts, why don't you come over here so I can whoop on you? The cool thing about this place is you have an opportunity to make as much money as you want and move up the ladder quick. I've had 6 promotions in 14 months.
Right.
And then we move you up the ladder, and we work also with prepaid legal. We can actually give prepaid legal away. You sell the extra $36 deal, you get $25 for $36. Not too shabby.
That sounds good, man.
If you get somebody to close your calls for you, it doesn't matter. They'll close the call, you still get paid the same amount of money.
I like that idea. He's all business.
Yeah.
I'm starting to hear something. I didn't pick that last
one. Oh, yeah, it was a big one.
Hold it for 1 second. Can you pause it, Bald Brian? You know what he was doing the equivalent of? Once in a while, I throw my dog in the pool, and my dog hates the pool. And so my dog does that dog paddle toward the shallow end.
Yeah,
but I hang on to the dog's tail, and it doesn't go anywhere. But she's like,
good God.
20 minutes in the same spot of...
Good God,
that's
sir.
What that guy was doing. He was talking about 401k and profit sharing right through the belching. He kept going.
And you're a dog killer.
He's just giving the dog some exercise.
No, is your dog alive still?
It was my first dog. She was 3. That's like 21.
What was your dog's name? Waterwing? Unreal. I'm going to fly over this table and karaoke your ass.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's keep going with one of my favorite Jim Florentine calls.
But, you know, whoever it is may be funny, but it doesn't bother me because I'm professional enough to talk right over.
Look, if I'm going to make sales for you guys, I can't have some guy burping over the phone.
Well, no, this is only on the inbound phones here. For my specific one, because let's just say there's internal problems and we're getting rid of them. That's why we're hiring.
So this ain't going to happen with me because... You know, I'm pretty professional when I do my calls.
Oh, no doubt. So are we. And that's why people like this guy on the other line, when we find out who it is, we'll just have Adam fire him, you know, and then I'll take him outside and just beat his ass.
All right. I'd like to work for you guys. You guys sound good, but the burping's a little too much for me, and it sounds like you guys are pretty unprofessional over there.
No, it's one of those phones that you listen to, okay? And they cannot only go on so many lines.
I can't deal with that if I'm trying to make sales.
You won't have to. If it ever happens, we find out where it comes from. Trust me, we will.
All right, I'll call you back tomorrow if I get burping then.
Thanks.
Wow,
that you can talk and burp and just toggle between the two so quickly.
That's got to hurt, man.
No, not really.
It doesn't hurt?
No.
How's your esophagus?
I've been, you know, good so far.
5.5, 6.
I've been doing them since I'm 9 years old.
What kind of answer do you want with how's your esophagus?
Well, I was trying to be medical and sound smart.
Hey, did you call this guy back?
All right, so toaster, pastries, Pop-Tarts.
Hey, yeah. Pop-Tarts, I've got a serious question. Do you call back and then say, can you not beat the ass of the guy that you thought was the internal problem?
No.
Really?
No, we wanted, hopefully he kicks his ass first, and then we call back. It makes it a better story.
So for all we know, that guy got his ass kicked.
Yeah,
Probably. I don't know. I think Comedy Central eventually calls back. I think they wait a few hours for them to calm down, and then they say, hey, it was a joke. So hopefully someone got their ass kicked before they call back.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to call back and beg them to sign a release.
And then Comedy Central gives them, like, a T-shirt, right?
Oh, no. Sometimes they get a Jon Stewart travel mug.
Oh, okay.
It's not always a T-shirt.
Yeah. Sure, a South Park tote bag. Nice.
Once in a while, you piss the people off so badly that there's no chance that you can ever call them back. One time, I had a guy making fun of my conjoined twins.
Oh, I believe. Siamese twins.
Yeah, and he was laughing when I wanted to take him to tumbling class or something like that. And he started to, I could hear him laughing with his buddies in the background. And at a certain point, I got really indignant and said, you know, my kids have a birth defect and blah, blah, blah. And I started getting indignant with the guy. And he said, oh, listen, whoa. Believe me, I know. I have a two-year-old with a trach hole. And I said, she was a smoker. She brought that on herself. And the guy, you've never, like a mother Kodiak bear when you got too close to the cubs, like all laughs, all smiles, screwing around with his buddies, making fun of my kids the second I called the two-year-old a chain smoker. How dare you! Pow! The guy just snapped into "I'm going to kill you."
Wow! Mode.
Yeah, never could get that baby clear.
So he had a trach hole.
That's what he said.
Oh, the little girl. She must have had a blockage.
Is that like a pterodactyl?
I shouldn't.
Maybe it was from burping.
I shouldn't make fun. Yes.
Are we going to hear a song?
Well, Jim Florentine is in the studio again at the Avalon in Hollywood this Friday night. Also, Harlan Williams. So, Harlan.
Yeah.
You're going to do the part of the beluga whale,
yeah.
Or do you want to do one of your birds?
I'll start with the whale for the first half, and then I'll switch gears, and we'll go bird call in the second half of the song.
Wow.
Double treat.
Tall order.
Double treat, fella.
Now, I know the Grease Man used to do this bit in the 70s, but I feel like we should dust it off. He'd do the whale bird belching Bobby Fletcher.
Take a Reese, sir. Take a Reese, man.
I don't mean to be a diva, Adam, but I requested a Diet Coke for the burps.
Do you have the diet soda?
Yeah, I got it. I've been, you know.
Okay, so now, Jim Florentine, you will do, for the first half, Bobby Fletcher the belcher. And for the second half, you'll snap into a little special ed with a yay or I like Hawaii?
Sure. It's, you know, I'm a pro. I could turn it on and off that quick.
I know you can, but this is a tall order for both of you.
Ooh. Yeah, we can do it.
All right, I'm going to start
no
the
rehearsal.
Singing. Yeah,
no,
Mike,
we don't need it.
You cue me. You guys ready to go? You say, and I say, you say, and I say, let's call the whole thing off. You like,
yay!
And I like, you like,
yay!
And I like,
yay!
Yay! Let's call the whole thing off. Wow!
Perfection.
You guys are pros. Hey, Harlan?
Yes, sir.
Leave.
Leave?
Yes, I got to talk to Jim Florentine. You've had enough of my time.
No, I'm not leaving.
Nice job. It's your birthday. Go blow out your single candle on your cupcake.
I'm going to your house. I'll see
Put
you when you get home.
Put it out with tears. Harlan Williams, Brea Improv, tomorrow through Sunday. Jim Florentine.
See you guys.
Good seeing you, Harlan. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Take care, Harlan. Nice meeting you.
Sorry, Jim. I just didn't want him cramping your style with his bird noises.
It's about Jim now. Cool.
Those burps weren't really up to par, man.
Come on. No. You're being too
hard. Don't ever apologize.
They didn't have a good depth to them. You know, it was kind of...
Well, it had been a year or so.
It has been
the last time you were
How
here.
How come you stopped doing the burps?
You know what? I don't know. Because we haven't done the show in a while, the Crank Anchor show. So, And I just, I don't know. I just, maybe I'm growing up. Could that be it?
I don't think so.
Because we used to always do it out on the road. Like, we'd go out, you know, comedians would stop off at, like, a rest area, and I'd just start burping really loud, and people are, like, looking around. And I can get them out in, like, 2 seconds. By the time people turn around, I'm just pointing at my friend, like, what's wrong? I'm sorry about my friend here.
Yeah, you can do a good belch, and you have a good poker face.
Oh, I got a great poker face,
you're gonna screw up everyone around you.
Do you have one more left in you that you can make it look like it was me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see what that looks like.
Will you stop? I'm sorry about her.
Yeah. See, the important thing about the good poker face and about passing the belch buck is you can't do too much. You can't be overly theatrical. You can't go, wow, man.
Believable one.
No, that's, what's that?
A believable.
No, it's not the belch. It's the reaction.
It's the reaction. Like, you gotta, I'm sorry for my friend. Like, that face. Like,
Right.
You know what I mean? She's 22, you think she would know better.
Don't overcompensate, and thank you for
crawling,
Teresa.
You said I was
Teresa,
22. Yeah. God bless you.
I know how to work them.
So, Jim, what's coming up for you other than the Avalon in Hollywood coming up this Friday night?
Saturday I'm in San Diego doing a place called Kane's Bar and Grill, and I'm doing the Vegas Comedy Festival Thursday night.
Caesars. Dana Gould.
Is there a human being on the planet that's not going to be in Vegas in those, like, 4 days? I feel like every single comedian, like, if the terrorists strike Vegas during that weekend, there will be no comedy for the next 1,000
years.
But
Adam, you'll still be here.
That's right. I'll be the keeper of the comedy, and I'll have to be, I'll have to travel in the Pope Mobile. I'll be the last funny man alive. That's a good Omega comedian.
Right.
Starring me and Chuck Heston. It would be an interesting concept. I'm the only guy who doesn't show up at the Vegas comedy thing. All the big names, they're all there. Chris Rock, Seinfeld, boom. All the old guys, all the new guys, all the Florentines of the world, they're all gone. And there's one man left with a sense of humor. It's the Ace Man. Now, the world needs my sperm.
Well, for comedy to continue, you're going to have to do something horrible. You're going to have to mate with your best friend's girlfriend, Sarah Silverman.
Oh, my God. That's right. Sarah was there, but she's clinging to life. And I have to have sex with her while she's in a coma. Best
Otherwise,
sex I've ever had.
They're going to be, the next generation won't have any comedians.
That's right. But first, I conduct an experiment where I find out if supermodels can be funny when mixed with copious amounts of my sperm. That's right. Sperm.
I would take that chance and try.
Would you?
Yeah, at least you never know.
But eventually, I find Sarah Silverman. She's in Nevada, and she's clinging to life. I go in there. Now, Jimmy was also spared, and I explained to him, look, I'm a little bit funnier than you are. Thus, I'm going to need to have sex with your catatonic girlfriend. And he understands.
He does.
And we do one of those handshakes that turns into a hug. And then I take off my T-shirt and I go, hold this, bro. And we see a single tear run down Jimmy's cheek as he yells no up into the heavens. And we see the birds fly away. That's the climax.
All right, let me ask you this. What happens if Sarah doesn't make it, but Lisa Lampanelli is holding on?
Hey, this is a future of comedy,
Adam.
I go
for oral.
You go.
What if Kathy Griffin's still alive?
Wow. Well, you really put me in a tough position. All right, we do it through artificial insemination. That's the way it works. And then we do that thing where we go 9 months later.
Yeah.
And a little Polly Shore comes out. And I yell, we have to kill it.
And then you smother it?
I smother it with a pillow.
To keep comedy going, Monique is the only one.
That's
what do you do? What do you do?
What do you do? Do you take one for the team?
I say, Monique, give me draw off that 40. I'm going in.
Now, I don't know if Joy Behar can still reproduce.
Well,
but
we're going to find out.
She's Italian.
She just seems Jewish because she complains so much. Hey, Jim.
Thank you.
Good news is you'll be playing the part of Jim Florentine.
Perfect.
You'll be killed midway through Act 1.
Perfect.
Jim, do you date any female comedians?
No.
No, just supermodels.
You know what? Not a lot of female comics are that hot to begin with. Mm-hmm. And they're usually a mess.
Emotionally.
Yeah, so it's not good.
So not only do you have usually with guys, if you go out with the model, you get all the baggage, but at least she looks great getting out of the shower.
Some caller is saying that you're dating Robin Quiver. Florentine dating Robin Quivers, question mark. That can't be right.
Probably someone from the Whack Pack calling from
No, I did. I actually asked her out on the air a few months ago as a goof, and I didn't think she would say yes. She said, yeah, I'll go to dinner with you, and I've gone a couple dates with her.
Really?
Over the last couple months.
Well, what do you think of Robin?
I like her. I mean, you know.
Did you guys fool around?
Hey, where
no, we haven't done anything
at?
Yet. I took her to a concert a couple weeks ago and
you
went to dinner
one night.
Now there's no, you know, like a little peck on the cheek. That was about it.
Do you think
she's
Robin,
got class? You know,
I know.
I've never dated a woman that had a class before.
You think she's misunderstood, Robin?
What do you mean?
Robin Quivers. I think she's really sweet and she's really nice to me.
How could anybody have a problem with her? She comes across so sweet and so professional.
Sometimes on the air, she gets a little snarky. I don't know. My feeling is that the public perception of Robin Quivers wasn't the greatest, but I've always found her to be super nice and super friendly.
Absolutely. She's totally super nice and super friendly. Yeah, I mean, some people could say that, but a lot of people link her to Howard and think that because she's with him that she's disgusting and she's...
Right, she gets tainted by that.
But then some people, you know, come off say she's, like, arrogant on the air, but I don't see that. She's just, you know, she's making a point. She's in a boys' room. You know, it's all boys in there cracking lowbrow jokes, and she's got to be...
Can you burp some more?
Jim Florentine can be found at the... Avalon in Hollywood, and also in the upcoming movie Omega Comedian, starring yours truly. And
it's a good sex scene in there.
Hopefully Sarah Silverman and not Lisa Lampanelli or Monique. Jim, always great to see you. Friday night, Avalon in Hollywood. For tickets, 619-549-8666. And in San Diego, coming up Saturday night, go to Ticketmaster.com for more info. Jim, thanks for playing along.
Yeah, good luck with your relationship with Robin. I see you two being a nice couple.
You do?
I really do.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm way out of my league with her. I know I am because, you know.
Step it up.
She's smart. She likes museums. I go to, like, Ozfest, you know.
Well, she can slum it for a while.
You think so?
Hey, yeah. Dana White, the brains behind the Octagon, is on the show next. He's going to talk a little UFC with us, and we'll do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. UFC President Dana White.
This sport is so unpredictable. I think that's what makes it so exciting. There's so many different ways to win and so many different ways to lose. I mean, and lately we've been on a tear of upsets, you know. That's the way the sport goes.
Now Dana White is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to speak to you, Dana White.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. UFC 78, by the way, is coming up this Saturday at 7 p.m. You can get it on pay-per-view. Dana, before we get into that, let's go back. I think of you as the founder of UFC, but you purchased the UFC.
Correct. Yeah, seven years ago we bought it. The company basically had gone out of business. The sport was dead at the time, and me and my partners, we believed in it and thought we could do something with it, so we bought it from the old owner.
Well, it's weird because now that I think back on it, it was around for a number of years. It was outlawed from certain states, and it just didn't catch on. What's so different about, you know, 07, 06, 05 versus 1993, 94, 95? Is it what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I don't think the difference was the sport itself. It was the owners. You know, the old owner used to, market this thing as the brutal, most bloody, violent sport in the world. Two men into the cage, one man leaves kind of thing. And in the beginning, it did great things for him. He was rivaling, you know, the WWE and big boxing events in the beginning. But eventually, he was putting on fights, unsanctioned fights, basically in states that didn't have sanctioning, weren't overseen by an athletic commission like boxing is. And when they approached him and said, you can't do this, he said, don't tell me I'm going to run my business. And he'd take it to, Puerto Rico or Alabama or places where he couldn't be regulated. So Senator John McCain called the cable systems and had him yanked off cable. And that's really – then once he lost that revenue, he was it was all downhill.
So he sold it to your company in what year?
We bought it in 2001, January of 2001.
And I hear you lost money on your first fight.
No, we lost money on the first 3 years. We were $44 million in the hole.
How much did you pay?
$2 million. We bought it for $2 million. And then we proceeded to lose another 42 from there.
It's amazing. It's like buying a house for 500 grand and sinking 20 million into the house. And it's still worth less than the 500 grand you paid for it. Absolutely exactly. Amazing. Well, when did it turn the corner for you guys?
Well, we had a plan. We had a plan and we really thought that this thing could take off, but you never know, is the timing right, et cetera, et cetera. But we knew we had to get it sanctioned, mm-hmm. So we went and sat down with the athletic commissions, and we got it sanctioned in New Jersey and Nevada, which was important. From there, this thing wasn't allowed on pay-per-view. Porn is allowed on pay-per-view, but this couldn't be on pay-per-view.
Right.
We got that fixed after we got the sanctioning. We got back on pay-per-view, and then we knew, which everybody said was impossible, but we knew what we needed to do was to get it on free television, and nobody would take it. Everybody was terrified of it, and we built the Trojan horse, if you will, the Ultimate Fighter reality show.
Right.
Basically, reality was so hot, and you're watching mixed martial arts without realizing you're watching it. So
yeah.
With that show, we were able to squash all the misconceptions about the sport
right.
and the athletes.
Right. It was a great show, and sure, boxing is legal, and the guys who get the repeated head trauma end up much worse off than the guy that have to tap out because they're in an arm bar. Or they get a couple of shots in the head, but it's the buildup, it's the repetition that causes the problem, as
exactly.
far as the neurosurgeons say. Do you have a Dana White from the UFC? Are there any guys you have your eye on? For instance, Hugh Hefner probably watches TV, sees Britney Spears all over the news, and says, God, I wish I could get that chick to compose in my magazine. Do you have someone like Mike Tyson? Is there somebody out there where you think, God, I wish I could get this guy to get in the octagon?
I used to back before we broke out. I used to think, God, if I could get Tyson or one of these big names in here, and draw some attention, but not really anymore. I mean, we really build our own stars now. We just signed a guy that I'm very interested in, and I think he's going to be big for our business, Brock Lesnar,
mm-hmm.
who was a former WWE guy. He was their big superstar, and he just got up and walked away.
He was a collegiate wrestler?
Exactly. This guy came from college. He has real from college wrestling. He has real wrestling credentials.
He has a real pedigree.
Yeah, so, other guys from the WWE, there's no way I'd ever take any of the guys from the WWE. They'd get hurt bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. This guy has wrestling credentials, and he's been training for a few years now.
Plus, his name is Brock.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, you got to be tough.
We're going to find out if Brock can fight for real.
Yeah. Well, I thought, has Brock not fought in a mixed martial arts event yet? Because I thought he had.
He did. He fought and won, and he won it in the first round.
Right.
But
so we found out he can fight, but we're not going to...
There's a lot of other smaller events out there.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the level of competition between those and the UFC is like going from high school football to the NFL.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I love about the UFC. Not only is it really turning and evolving into a sport with strategy, and you got one guy's a grappler and the other guy's a striker, so the striker's got to stay on his feet and the grappler wants to get the guy down and choke him out. But the competition is so good that the guys that are great still have three losses.
You're right.
And you don't see that in other sports. In boxing, if a guy's great, he gets to 35-0 before he gets to his first loss, or maybe into the 40s. They can bring these guys through in boxing. In boxing,
exactly.
They're guys who can be 25-0 and you've never heard of them or seen them on TV. In the UFC, there's a guy who's considered the best in his weight division and he's 13-4.
Exactly right, and it's actually there's a lot of things about the UFC that are refreshing to fight fans, and that's one of them. In boxing, you'd see these guys, just like you said, built up to 39-0 with 38 knockouts, and then as soon as he loses one fight, he sucks and nobody wants to see him anymore,
right? Well, because we realize he's a paper tiger. He was brought up with tomato cans.
Or people used to, oh, God, this guy isn't invincible. The reality is nobody's invincible. Anybody can be beat on any given day.
Right, we still want to watch Chuck Liddell, even though we've seen him lose.
Right. No, it's true.
And what about Chuck Liddell, speaking of that? He gets beat by Rampage.
Yep.
Rampage is a guy that insiders told me was really tough, beat Liddell once and then beat him a second guy. He seems like one of the guys that may be invincible in that octagon. Then Liddell goes and loses again last month. What's up with Liddell's future, and do you know?
Well, the thing is, you have to understand about Chuck, too. Chuck's fought the best in the world now. I mean, just since Chuck and I have been together, I mean, we've been together for like 9 years. I mean, he's been fighting for that long. He's
you mean 30- professionally, right?
Are you life partners?
That would be scary.
Can you imagine?
I would tap out almost immediately.
Yeah, professionally.
Okay.
He's been fighting for 9 years. He's 38 years old. And, you know, everybody, no matter how great you are, we all get old. And the question is Chuck there yet? On December 29th in Vegas, he's fighting Wanderlei Silva, mm-hmm. former Pride champion. And this is a fight that fans have been waiting to see for years, including myself. And they're both the same type of fighters. They're both, you know, scary individuals who go in there to knock people out, and they both like to stand up. So
right.
We're going to find out where Chuck is on December 29th.
And it's also a sport that you can carry on into your early 40s.
That's true. No, that is true.
You can't really do that in boxing, maybe in the heavyweight division, but even that is not going to be easy. But for some reason, this is a sport where you can probably go into 42, 43, 44 and still be really competitive.
It's true. But we do see athletes getting older and older. Roger Clemens is still pitching. Greg Maddux. Even Sugar Shane Mosley looked great last weekend, you know?
Yeah.
He's 35 or 36.
Well, the beauty of baseball is you can be morbidly obese and still pitch a good six innings, which I love. But it is nice. And, yeah, they do talk about, you know, 40 being the new 30 or 20 or whatever it is. And it's definitely bleeding into athletics, and sure, why not? If people used to die at 16, they now die at 80, and we have all these supplements and all the stuff we know about working out, why not?
Right.
Hey, Dana White, we'll be watching UFC 78. That is this Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific. It'll be live from Newark, New Jersey. Quickly, give us a little rundown of who's going to be on that bill.
It's the first time ever. We got Michael Bisping and Rashad Evans, mm-hmm. two winners of the Ultimate Fighter reality show fighting
yes.
each other. And both these guys are 15-0. They're both 15-0. It's hard to go 2-0 in the sport, let alone 15-0.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great fight. The whole card is stacked. We got Thiago Silva versus Houston Alexander. Silva is 11-0. Houston Alexander just knocked out Keith Jardine and Alessio Sicara in the first round.
Wow.
This kid's a monster. Ryo Chonin against Carl Parisian, Frankie Edgar, and Spencer Fisher. I mean, even the undercard that won't be on television is stacked. It's a really good card.
And I'll tell you, another thing that's great about the UFC, when you just watch boxing and there's a couple of guys you never heard of getting in the ring, you just go, put $10 on the black guy, and you're pretty good shape. UFC doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
It is, and rightfully so. I mean, there are plenty of brothers that do well in the ring, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of farm boys out there that can swing it as well. Hey, Dana White, great to talk to you.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for the support, guys. Appreciate
and,
it.
Our pleasure. We'll be watching this Saturday, UFC 78. T.
Yep.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, Michael Jordan isn't playing basketball anymore, but he's still setting records. I'll tell you why.
I heard about his divorce. I heard about the number. I heard about the monetary number. And, you know, once in a while, you're watching TV and you see something and you hear a dentist drill and you see someone open their mouth and you go,
like it's happening to you.
That hurt. I was driving my car on the 101 freeway yesterday, heard the number, and felt it in my scrotum.
Right there.
I actually got, ladies, you don't have this, I don't think. You don't have that weird visceral, once in a while, something can make your sack just pull up like landing gear.
You don't mean it metaphorically. You actually feel a pain there.
I felt my scrotum lift up off of the seat. And I'm talking about the back seat. I have that large scrotum. What I do is I go outside the sunroof. Then I go through the wind wing on the passenger side,
right.
And then I rest it in the back seat where Molly sleeps.
MJ's got to pay a lot of money.
Yes, we'll hear that number next on the news.
And I couldn't.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
We've got a kind of a phenomenon in the sky out there, and we're going to share it with you right now. We have a comet, and it's not a small one either. It is kind of this blob that's moving across our skies. It was very bright about 2 weeks ago, but now it's just bright. Hey, yeah, well, no, that, and that's for you, too.
How about that white light at the end of the tunnel?
I've got your white light. 86 hour high today. You know what? I get up to actually see this thing. I have no life.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it's time for Teresa Strasser and her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A lot of information has come to light about the doctor who performed a tummy tuck and liposurgery on Kanye West's mother, who died following the procedure. Mm-hmm. The guy's name is Dr. Jan Adams. And it, as it happens, he used to do a show called The Other Half with Danny Bonaducci.
Huh? Danny Bonaducci? Danny?
Yes?
Danny's calling in from Utah. He's shooting a movie with Tom Arnold. I have questions about that, but first the doctor. You worked with him?
And just so you know,
he was a Harvard, or is a Harvard-educated doctor.
Right.
And we had Nick Clark, who played the older sage on the show. This is how I ended up in rehab. My wife said, Dick Clark's going to be the older sage. Mario Lopez will be the sex symbol. And Dr. Jan Adams will be the Harvard-educated doctor, and you'll be the fat drunk. So why don't you go to rehab? So that's how I ended up in rehab the first time, was pretty much because of this guy.
So how many episodes did you do with him?
I think one, and then he killed some lady.
Really?
Well, Danny, you know, he's been accused of multiple malpractice. He has multiple malpractice cases against him, and there's a case for sexual battery, which he settled out of court.
Right. Well, you know what,
everybody?
Let me tell you something about it, because I am no great fan of Dr. Jada. We didn't get along from Christmas.
Uh-oh.
The battle of wits, like who was smarter? And I said, but Doc, why don't we have a trivia contest? Kicked his ass.
Danny, can you get somewhere where you might get good reception? We're losing you.
You want to call my room? Would that be better?
Oh, no, we're getting, you're back.
You're back.
Okay, I was in the bathroom making sure I was pretty because it's important to be on radio and look your best.
So you kicked his ass in a trivia competition.
And then he screamed at a producer because he assumed the producer must have given me the answers. You know, the human body, the temperature being 98.7, ain't that rough.
Right.
Although and I didn't so know it. I beat him, and he did not like that. And I used to hear things because we shared a dressing room wall, and he would yell things like, if Danny Bonaducci said it, they'd think it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he thought he was trying to be funny, and he wasn't coming across as very funny. Now, I do not know, honestly, and even if I did, I'd be very careful right now, but I do not know the reasons that he was let go.
But you're saying he was for sure let go.
It is my understanding. How is this?
From your show.
It is my understanding that he was terminated between the first episode of the day and the last episode of the day, which means he had to do the last episode knowing he was fired.
Mm. You mean you shot two shows in a day, and in between those shows, management said, Doctor, after you shoot this next show, don't come back.
Am I not speaking? That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clarifying.
Bad phone line.
Bad
hey,
phone
Danny.
Line.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with the movie?
I'm sorry?
What's going on with the movie you're shooting?
Okay. You know Gary Gilmore?
Yes.
The guy who was shot by firing squad in Provo, Utah?
Yeah.
You mean the subject of the Executioner's song?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am in Provo, Utah, and let me just say, Gary was lucky.
Really?
Yeah. If all I had to do was get shot in the chest rather than hang in Provo, Utah, I'd go for the shooting.
Really?
Yeah. There. First of all, I'm in a dry county, which you would think is okay for me because I don't drink, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They mean dry of everything. If it has the word, if it, in any way, shape, or form, the word fun can be attached to it, they don't have it here.
Mm. Well, you're only going to you're only there for like 18 hours, right?
It's that long. I think I'm on a flight. It's about another 12 hours, I believe, from now.
Danny, I know a guy where you can score some Red Bull.
You sort of. You don't know. You don't know how serious you are.
He makes bathtub Red Bull.
As far as I know, the Mormons, caffeine was banned, and then they bought a very large interest in Coca-Cola, and then retracted that rule.
Interesting.
Now, do you guys mind, speaking of drinking, because I know people are interested, and we have Danny, if I just ask another question about Dr. Adams?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. He had three DUI convictions, 2003, 4, and 6. Did you notice him to be a big drinker?
Oh, that's kind of odd. I don't think I ever saw him drink. And on the other hand, I don't think I had a bottle out of my hand for those same years, and I never got a DUI. So I think it's just the luck of the draw. It's really, that's what it is.
Hey, Danny, the connection is bad. Are you back tomorrow, or are you going to Utah tomorrow? I mean, Chicago tomorrow.
I am back home to my friends tomorrow, broadcasting. And then I fly up to Zany's in Chicago and do two comedy dates. But I will have an ISDN line, so you won't even know I'm not there.
Oh, yes, we will. We'll not smell the axe or see the gleam from the bedazzled jeans. All right, Danny. Good luck.
Nice talking
kick,
to you.
Kick Tom Arnold in the nuts for me, and we'll see you tomorrow. T?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Continue the news now.
It's nice talking to Danny. I think what he said was he'd be back tomorrow, but we kind of lost him. I think back tomorrow and then gone, but on an ISDN line.
I realize, though, even with a choppy line, I speak fluent Bonaducci. Because even
you
it's
did?
Like,
I was losing him.
I looked this cat in the eye, kicked his ass.
You got it. You got the gist.
I feel like that's most Danny stories. You could just sort of.
Please try your call again later.
Chop it up a little.
I didn't care that the doctor wanted to be funnier or wanted to beat Danny in a trivia contest. I wanted to know if he was sleazy toward the women working on the show because he's got the sexual battery charge, but I couldn't get it out.
But every Danny story sounds like, and then the pimp came up, and this guy starts poking me in the rib cage. So I stand up and I say, and kicked his ass.
Okay, well,
I got married last year. Walked down the aisle, took my vows, kicked his ass. It all works, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm sure Danny would enjoy this story, although he rarely likes to discuss his divorce.
Danny's getting a divorce?
It didn't work out.
He's going to have to sell a house and move into a condo.
Right. He rarely likes to discuss it. He's a private man. But as it happens, he and Gretchen are getting a divorce, and it's very painful, and he's had to pay a lot of money and divide the assets, and that hurts everyone involved. It really hurts Michael Jordan and his soon-to-be former wife, Juanita Jordan. They've settled their divorce, and in the process, they set a record. But it's probably not the record Jordan will look back on most fondly.
Mm-mm.
He is handing over $168 million, which makes it the costliest celebrity divorce ever.
Yeah, but he couldn't have done it without somebody waiting at home in a palatial estate watching her shows while he nailed groupies on the road. He couldn't have done it without her, is what I'm saying.
Well, he beat the previous record.
Mm-hmm.
For $150 million, which was paid out to Marsha Murphy, the ex-wife of...
Jim Carolla. Oh, Neil Diamond.
$150 million he paid.
Oh, yeah.
I know my dad's about ready to kill me already, but... When my parents got divorced, they had no assets to divide. There was nothing.
Well,
they lived in my grandmother's second house that she paid $10,000 for in North Hollywood. They just flopped there.
I remember that.
So when my dad left, he just left.
That was top water.
He didn't pack up anything. He didn't own any furniture.
Who got the shrimp diviner?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We'd pawned that years ago. There was literally no assets, and there was nothing to divide, and there was no reason to get divorced. My parents didn't get divorced for 10 years. They just went their separate ways. They never spoke to each other. They never saw each other. They just went their separate ways. And my dad went to my grandmother's house, not his mother's house, my mom's mother's house. And he flopped there in their one bedroom with the one bathroom for about 3 months until he could get a crappy apartment.
Oh, great.
3 months with your ex's mom?
They were out of town probably for about a month, and then they came back. My grandma recently told me it was all they could do to get him out of there.
Yeah, hello?
How do you think they finally got him out?
I think they did that old sitcom routine where they pretended the house was haunted.
We're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ghosts, and they're saying things.
Yeah.
Be better if you move now before it got ugly.
I do not think there was a penny exchange between the two of them. They just, it was as simple as they did exactly what we're going to do at the end of the workday today.
How should I know?
You go over there, I'll go over here, yep. And I'll see you later.
See you later.
That must be nice. It's kind of simple in a way, you know what I mean? On one hand, if you're Jordan, it sucks to give $150 million to someone who did nothing, and I'm sure she did nothing to help his career. On the other hand, if you're giving $150 million away, man, you've arrived.
Yeah. Think of how much you have left.
It's one of those dubious honors. It's one of those, well, you set this record, but on the other hand, wow.
You have it.
Yes.
Give away.
Yes.
I like that. You just did a little Mr. Brightside. Now, recently, we were reading from Rosie O'Donnell's blog, and she said B.O., and we thought she meant body odor, but I think now she might have meant Bill O'Reilly. He was on The View yesterday, and when we come back, I'll tell you some of the crazy stuff he had to say.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. Oh, she's talking about Bill O. and not
Remember
B.O.
When, yeah, he said, she said in her poem about mm-hmm. her book reading, B.O., and we were like, what is she talking about? I think she meant Bill O'Reilly. That, she calls him B.O.
The blog, I don't mind the blog, but the blog cam. Isn't the blog supposed to be text? You know what I mean? It just looks like an angry lesbian manatee just propped up on a stool, just sitting there with a bandana. It's like a manatee with a bandana wrapped around its head, just angrily banging away on a keyboard.
B.O. Some ass wipes.
Cackling.
That's what she called them. She called the people at her book signing B.O. ass wipes. B.O. ass wipes.
That's what she meant.
Thanks for saving that, Brian. You're B.O. ass wipes.
Wow, Paul Bryan. We need to take ourselves a break. Back with the rest of the B.O. ass wipes next.
B.O. ass wipes.
Hi, this is Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Rock and roll right on. Show us your tits.
Girls Gone Wild.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Just hanging out with Felons Gone Wild. All right, T, the rest of the news, baby girl.
Bill O'Reilly, or as Rosie calls him, B.O. ass wipes. Those are his fans.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up on The View, and he talked about kids being bullied.
You know who's getting bullied the most in school now?
B.O. ass wipes.
The gay kids and the kids from religious or conservative homes. Mm-hmm. Those are the two groups that are getting bullied on the internet.
Are they
in
bullying
school?
Each other? Because no. It sounds like they're enemies.
The pendulum has swung so far. It's the Britney wannabes who are cool. It's the stoners who are cool.
The stoners.
And, yeah. And it's the kids who come from religious, if they go to church, they're mocked.
But you
and
guys,
the gay kids.
Mm-hmm.
The religious kids are getting mocked.
How do you know who's gay? I had my suspicions when I was in grade school and high school, but who do you really know?
I had no idea. In fact, I remember one of my best friends, my mom said, you realize that kid, your friend, is gay. And I said, no way. He has a girlfriend, and she bet me $50 in 5 years.
Jimmy's 9 and in a wheelchair, Mom.
She still knew. She could tell.
Yeah.
You know, by the way he rode.
Yeah. He rode his Schwinn side saddle.
B.O. ass wipes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can tell.
I kind of knew, too, but I didn't really know what it entailed.
Right.
Now that I know the full depths of the gayness, I'm disgusted.
By how intolerant you are?
Mm-hmm. That's what
I
mean.
I figure.
Yeah. You kinda, it's funny. Here's what kids tune into. Kids tune into different. That means club foot.
Yeah.
Clubbed ass, doesn't matter. It's different. And if we smell different on you, we're going after you. And when it comes to gay, when you're in the seventh grade, we can't put our finger on it. We just know something's different, and we're going to get you.
That's so ghetto.
The other thing is we didn't know from gay back then. You kids now with your TiVo and your MySpace and your internet and your Xbox, you know from gay. We didn't know from gay. You want to know how we didn't know from gay? I remember being in the like 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and the Village People were super popular, and we're like, those dudes rock. Those dudes must get all kinds of tail on the road. Can you imagine that Indian guy? How about the construction worker? Young, good looking, single, got a couple of hit songs, singing about hanging out with the fellas at the Y, gonna scrub up and go get some ladies.
Body, body,
singing about wetting your body. Oh, my God. Could you imagine how much ass these guys would get on the road? Ladies throwing themselves at the village people. And what about the biker guy? Look at him, that big bushy mustache. But the ladies love that. We had no idea the village people were gay, for Christ's sake. And it wasn't just us. We didn't have anybody's older brothers pulling us aside going, are you guys high? Let me clue you in. This guy's a big band of homos. That's all they're doing. They're making a daisy chain and going on tour, for the love of Christ. They met at a glory hole. No. Did you know that was the audition for the village people?
That it was took place at a glory hole?
Piece of plywood on a stand in a hole just right in the producer's office.
That's how they cast all the different characters?
That's how they cast it, yeah. We didn't know from gay. Kids know gay now.
I grew up in San Francisco, and I just thought Jim J. Bullock was quirky.
I thought Paul Lynn just liked, you know, open shirts, tans, and houseboys and was a perpetual bachelor. We didn't know. You see those old footage? They're talking to Liberace. And they're like, when are you going to settle down, Liberace? When's a woman going to make an honest man? And he's like, I don't know. I'm taking another me day. And it's like he's in his 50s. And he's having sex with a man during the interview. And they're like, Liberace, still, you settle down, you old swinging medallion. You, one day a lady's going to make an honest man out of you. Yeah, I was like, oh, this guy's a showman. He's flamboyant. My God, Liberace. We didn't know Freddie Mercury was gay. Liberace must have been screaming, like, what do I have to do to convince people I'm gay? I walk out wearing, like, a mirrored jumpsuit with a feathered bola. I have a boa. I have a rhinestone candelabra on the top of my white piano. I'm never seen with a woman. I'm screaming out for people to discover me as gay. Nobody.
There were times he was actually on fire.
He actually burst into flames in 1971, and people said, oh, the ladies are going to love that guy burning hot like a candle. We didn't know gay. You kids know gay. My son is 17 months. He called me a homo yesterday.
Why did he do that?
I was putting on some tinted zit cream, and he thought it was daddy was putting some foundation on, and he just came walking in the room.
He said Elmo.
I could have said Elmo. I swear he said homo.
Ooh.
Oh, wait, let me hear that again.
It would have been homo.
Homo. Oh my God. Yeah, that's right.
You, that's before he's even called you daddy.
Called me. He said homo. He came walking in the room. He was holding the Elmo doll.
It was tinted cream.
Either way, I backhanded the kid.
Well.
Almost immediately.
You have to, otherwise he might become.
Hold on. I do think maybe. Let me hear it again. Elmo. So you guys think he said Elmo there?
I'm not sure. Brian, what do you think?
Daddy.
That was daddy.
All right, that was the F word.
I'm pretty.
I know that.
I'm pretty sure it was. He's calling you out.
So I was right to hit him. Okay, good.
Let's talk about, you know, you're going to be shocked. Something weird happened in Florida.
Mm.
Yeah.
Florida. Not my Florida.
Sure. It happened at an Indian reservation and convention center and resort.
Yeah.
Police in Miami got a call. Two men were breaking into cars parked at said reservation convention center and resort.
Mm-hmm.
When the police got there, one of the guys surrendered right away. The other one took off running.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to open a casino called said casino. That way.
It happened. Meet me at said casino.
Yeah. And that way, whenever there's a news story about a casino or anything, I'll get a free plug.
Right.
Yeah, it's like naming your band free beer.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 10 grand at said casino. When the police got to said casino, one guy surrendered, one guy took off running.
Mm.
The robber, whose name has not been released, hopped a fence into a large pond behind said casino.
Mm-hmm.
And while he swam from police, a 9-foot alligator swam up next to him, started biting his head. Then it ate him whole.
Ate him whole?
It ate him whole. And this is the part of the story I can't understand or digest. If you
definitely not a Jew.
Expression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The remains of the man's body were recovered at the bottom of the pond the next day. So he was eaten whole, and then he was either passed or spit out in parts.
The reptiles eat something. I think it sits in their belly for like a month.
You think he spat him out?
Hold on. Bill, who I just found out was gay yesterday. I'm so naive.
It took me until I was 27 to figure it out.
You didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
You had no gay role models.
There are none, but reptiles will spit out bones and hair of different stuff. So will owls. They do that. They will spit out whatever is undigestible.
Thank you. That
there you go.
Clears it up.
And I'm guessing a wallet with a chain on it.
Yeah.
Probably toss that out, too. There's got to be a nice conversation for the next of kin.
Well, especially because the alligator was known to be dangerous, and he had already been named by said casino Pancho.
Is this your son's mullet?
All we found was a wallet with a chain on it and a mullet and a beer koozie. Hey, Ted, Larry's not going to be coming to Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, did he? Has he met a girl? He's going over her house?
Nope.
His buddy's in town?
He's not going to be with us. He's not.
Atlantic City. You know he likes to gamble.
He's not with us. Ted, Larry's no longer with us. He's deceased.
He's passed.
What? Yes.
What happened?
He was, you know how he loves to play the ponies, you know?
Oh, my God. He did not go down to the winner's circle and was trampled to death by the show ponies.
No, he was at a casino.
Fell off the stool after winning too much at blackjack?
Nope. I did take some earnings and head out into the parking lot, though.
Was crushed to death under the giant bag of money he won?
Not so much. He was fleeing.
There was someone tried to rob him of his winnings?
He may have had some of other people's money with him.
Robbing the rich to feed the poor.
So he fled to a river.
He always was an excellent swimmer.
Fast. He was. But ran into a little trouble in the river.
There was a rock protruding and injured himself and drowned.
He was consumed and then passed by a 9-foot alligator. Let's never speak of this again.
You
want to have a catch?
more than anything.
Yeah, good times.
I missed the music, though.
It was still
excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Too late, but thank you. That gave it the aftertaste I needed.
Mm-hmm.
This gator named Pancho. Pancho attacked because, according to Brian Woods, the owner of All American Gator, some alligators just have a nasty disposition, and he was just a nasty gator who seemed to have no fear of people.
Thanks for that expert commentary.
He's going to be put down, Pancho.
He is.
Yeah, they're putting him down. Under Florida law, anytime a gator kills or digests a person, it's put down because they don't want gators out there who've developed a taste for human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Pancho's still alive. He's being tested. But when those tests are done, he's going to be put down. Since 1948, there have been 275 unprovoked gator attacks on humans reported in Florida. Only 17 have resulted in deaths.
Here's the deal. Anyone dumb enough to swim where gators are, that's provoking.
Yeah.
That's called provoke.
Getting in your river.
Yeah.
Is enough.
Unprovoked. Just go F around with the gator. Hey, let me get a picture with my cell phone with the gator. Put your arm around the gator and you're telling your buddy, hey, stupid, press the big button. Hold it down, idiot. Of course. You climb into a gator's river, you are provoking the gator. All right, T.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. QCNN.
I think Prisoner Danny is going to be on the phone next. I should say David.
Slim.
Yeah.
Wow.
Prisoner David is going to be on the phone next. He's an actual incarcerated inmate. He's calling up, and I think speaking of Indian casinos, he has a little bit worked up with somebody from a tribe who's locked up with him. We'll talk to Prisoner David next.
To check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Prisoner David.
Adam, what's happening, man?
Good to talk to you, my brother.
Yes, yes.
I always get a little depressed because you live in a cage that's 7 foot by 9 foot, and yet you're always in a better mood than I am.
Well, you know, I try to be, Adam. You got to make the best of it here, man.
All right. What's going on in there today?
Well, today's situation is I want to talk about the what's called the Indian Sweat Lodge. Every prison nationwide has one. Okay, what it is it's a big fenced-off area.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional.
Good name for TSV.
That's a good one.
Well, it's a spiritual place when people get in touch with themselves.
Right, where the Indians go to die. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Prisoner David. Indian Sweat Lodge.
Yeah, so basically every prison has what's called a sweat lodge, and it's a big fenced-off area where the Native American Indians can do their religious rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to talk about the first time I got to this prison where I'm at right now, you know, one of the guys is mistaking me for being Native American. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of guys that are in the Native American group that are white guys. I mean, they're whiter than white, but they're claiming Native American.
Sure, I would, so, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, once you hear what I'm about to tell you, then you're going to know why. Well, basically, they have this big teepee, and they put these coals, like, in the middle of the teepee, and you go in there and you sweat. It's like they
provide a teepee in prison?
For religious freedom.
Oh, please. Well, what are they going to do? Let them hunt buffalo and, you know, make fire water? Jesus Christ. We don't have to let anyone do anything. It's called prison.
You any peyote in there?
Well, that's what I'm getting to right now.
Hey, I'm an atheist. I like to masturbate to TiVo. Come on. Where's my sweat lodge? Let's go, people.
So, Adam, check this out, man. I sit in there for a sweat. They invited me for a sweat, right? So I'm in there, and I'm smoking what's called a ceremonial peace pipe.
Jesus Christ. You take them, wampum.
I took a hit of that, Adam, and I was, like, flashing back, man. I went right back to the 90s, man.
Really? All the way back to the 90s? By the way, I don't know, you know, Indian etiquette, but you break and win in that sauna teepee. That's got to offend the elders. I feel like that would turbocharge any gas.
Oh, totally, man, totally. But I got to tell you, man, when I was on this trip, right, I went back to the 70s, man. I'm talking like in the God of the Vita days, man. Mm-hmm. I was like seeing flashbacks and all kinds of stuff. But one of the best parts out of it was I talked to Chief Thunderbear, man. I saw him there.
Mazola. Corn goodness.
And I had some questions for Chief Thunderbear.
Yeah, hey, and you doing 7 to 10. Buffalo manslaughter. Got drunk, backed buffalo over children.
Well, obviously, Chief Thunderbear knows what you did, but Prisoner David, what do you want to ask him?
Well, Chief Thunderbear, I want to ask you, why don't the blacks have their own area like the Native Americans, man?
Get dances with Jiggy. Get them Jiggy with it.
Chief Thunderbear's a little behind in his pop culture, but you get the idea.
Do the Humpty Hump. Hey,
ho. What about the Mexican guys?
Lunch truck deliver. Slam the Rio Grande.
And then most of all, Chief Thunderbird, what about the white guys, man? The white guys, the wolves.
Honky. See who minority now? Yeah, hey. Kick ass in sweat lodge. Oh, make honky skin rug out of whitey for sweat lodge. Eat every part of the honky. Oh, not waste any part.
Prisoner David, I assume you understood all that and you don't need me to translate. Unfortunately, Chief Thunderbear had to go.
So that was the end of the trip, I guess.
I guess. Hey, Prisoner David, we're out of time. I'm sorry, my brother. But I don't know why you make me feel good.
I know. He's got a bubbly personality. There's no way, two ways about it.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the day doing chin-ups on the water pipe that goes through your bedroom and holding a beach towel up so you can make a number two. Quick break. Back to wrap it up. Well, good times, my friends. That's the show. I want to thank Joe Francis for calling in from the joint. Girls Gone Wild. Of course, Harlan Williams, Brea Improv, tomorrow through Sunday.
P-O-S-H.
Jim Florentine is going to be at the Avalon Theater in Hollywood on a Friday night. Dana White, UFC 78. I always wonder if they skipped 69. Like some office buildings don't have a 13th floor. You know, maybe they went from 68 to 70.
You have to ask Dana about that.
Seriously, UFC's going to skip 69? I think they had like 11 69s in a row.
What about when the guys get onto the ground and really start going into the ground and pound, and sometimes they get into position? All I'm saying is you do the math. UFC 78 this Saturday on pay-per-view, and Teresa Strasser, TMZ TV. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Kill the twins.